The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Now the numbers are matching up here, Casey.
It's a banner day already.
They're great. It's Thursday, September 27th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a bartender was shot and killed in West Philadelphia. Officers on patrol heard gunshots about 10:15 last night at the Studio 7 Lounge at 60th and Spruce Streets. They saw a man running from the bar going east on Spruce. Once inside the bar, officers found a female bartender in her 30s suffering from a gunshot wound to the head. The woman was taken to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center, where she was pronounced dead. Then a few houses away, police found a 52-year-old man said to be the same man who was running from the bar who had also been shot in the head. He was taken to the hospital in critical condition. Police found a handgun under the man's body and believe that he shot himself after shooting the woman at the bar. Philadelphia Police Lieutenant Johnny Walker said, "We don't know the relationship between him and the bartender, but we do know that they know each other." Police have not released the names of the victim or suspect.
It kind of seems like it might be a crime of passion
or
something.
That's kind of what I was thinking when I heard it. So sad. She was only in her 30s.
Horrible.
The dire search for a suspected child predator is escalating in Bucks County. Police have been looking for David Hamilton for 5 days, and now they say he may be in possession of a stolen car. Meanwhile, police have arrested a woman who they say was hiding the suspect in a Southampton home. He is a top priority right now, said Robert Clark of the U.S. Marshals. Police say Hamilton stole a 2016 white Toyota Avalon on Tuesday night. He's been spotted in the woods in Solbury Township, and he may be camping in a white tent with a red top. Hamilton is wanted for raping two young girls who were sisters. Whoa. Meredith Custodio was arrested for hindering apprehension and conspiracy, among other charges. Police believe the 58-year-old woman allowed Hamilton to hide out in a home of a 78-year-old woman who she was supposed to be caring for. He may have been there as recently as Tuesday, police think. Police are asking the public to be vigilant and to call 911 if they see Hamilton. They say that they have enough officers on the street to respond within minutes to any location in Solbury Township, which is where they believe he is at this point. Hamilton has a military background with 20 years in the Army. When a New Hope officer tried to arrest him on September 21st, he put up a fight and tried to grab the officer's gun. Police are considering Hamilton armed and dangerous. A $1,000 cash reward is being offered for information leading to his arrest. Tips can be submitted to the U.S. Marshals by calling 1-866-865-TIPS.
I saw a follow-up story, Kathy. I don't know what all you have in the news, but I figured I'd bring it up here because it was a news story the other day. The guy who shot at his wife and then went and killed his parents.
We
were wondering why he might have gone and killed his parents. I saw a headline. I don't know if you saw it.
I did. Yeah,
that apparently he blamed his parents for his woes. So it wasn't a mercy killing or anything like that.
Do you know
that?
What it was specifically based on?
No.
They said they dropped him when they were taking him out of the bassinet at one time
when he was a baby,
oh, and he feels that impacted, and that he was dropped once out of a bassinet. And that's what did it.
And that we watched some of the press conference yesterday, and that his father was too hard on him as a kid. But he didn't really, he hated his parents, apparently. Yeah. He hated his siblings, hated his wife, hated his son, unfortunately.
He was a hateful guy.
Yes. Wow. So that when he went over to his parents, that was out of hate, not some of the other stuff that we
thought. To protect them or from the bad news that might come about. Yeah, and they were both sitting in recliners, he shot him in the head.
Oh my gosh, and they were 87 and 89.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
A father suspected of gluing shut the eyes and mouth of his one-year-old daughter has been arrested in West Texas. El Paso County records show 29-year-old Johnny Lee Carter is being held on a charge of injury to a child causing serious bodily injury. On September 16th, Odessa police were called to a domestic disturbance, and they found a girl with facial injuries and her mouth and eyes glued. According to an affidavit, the toddler's mother told police that Carter choked and punched the girl, then applied the adhesive. A super glue stick was found nearby, and a second child was found under a pile of pillows and blankets. Carter's wife said that he had stuffed the baby under the bedding before assaulting the toddler because the infant had been crying. Carter fled but was arrested Monday at a motel in El Paso. He faces extradition to Odessa, which is about 270 miles away. Online records didn't list an attorney who would speak on Carter's behalf, and no information was given about a prior history. In sports this morning.
Okay, hang on here.
Wait,
okay, let's try this.
Let's see if we can do it.
Now, nope.
I gotta hit it.
Go. Ball sacks are yummy.
lost again to the Rockies last night in Colorado, falling 14-0.
Wow.
With the win.
They have not given up, guys. Yeah. They have not given up on this season yet.
With the win, the Rockies move back into the National League West lead. Meanwhile, things keep getting worse for the Phils, who started the game with 8 straight strikeouts and fell to 2 games under 500 with 4 games remaining. The series wraps up this afternoon, and Jake Arrieta will get the start in the Phils' final road game of the season. Game time is at 3:10. Finnish police are considering Flyers forward Jori Lehterä as a suspect in a large cocaine ring, according to a report by a media outlet in Finland. Lehterä is one of 23 suspects and has denied committing the crime. The police investigation, which involves about 2 kilos of cocaine, will likely expand, and there are 7 people in custody.
Not for anything, Kathy, but that might explain Gritty's eyes.
Suspected of aggravated narcotics, professional crime, and money laundering. Flyers general manager Ron Hextall released a statement saying, "We have spoken to Lehterä and the league office regarding the reports out of Finland and will reserve any further comment on this matter."
Wow.
Lehterä, who did not participate in practice yesterday, came to the Flyers in June of 2017 as part of the trade that sent Braden Schenn to the Blues. Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey has been medically cleared for contact, opening the door for his return following offseason rotator cuff surgery. Head coach Doug Peterson would not commit to Jeffrey playing on Sunday at the Tennessee Titans, saying we'll make a final determination later in the week. Jeffrey injured his shoulder during training camp last year and played through the pain for the entire season. He did not miss a game and finished with 57 catches for 789 yards and 9 touchdowns. He added 12 catches for 219 yards and 3 scores in the postseason, including a 34-yard touchdown grab in Super Bowl 52. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yay!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you so much, Kathy. So we have a few things that we want to remind you that's going on today. We have birthday bucks. That's a reminder because that happens every single day, Monday through Friday, and we have $1,000. 8 a.m. is your first chance to win today, and then we'll do it again at 11 and at, I always forget the times. I'm such an idiot. 1, 4, and 6, I think.
Yes.
So make sure that you are paying attention throughout the course of the day. We'll give you that word and tell you how to submit that word for a chance to win a grant. So that's coming up at 8 o'clock. We also have two guests, Grant Shawd. Normally would be in studio. He's with Murphy Brown. Debuts tonight, but he's, you know, they're making the show.
He's got to do the press rounds. Yeah, it's a big thing. It's a reboot of a show, you know, decades old, but it was hugely popular.
He's a local guy nowadays, and it'll be on tonight at 9:30 at CBS. So Grant will be getting in touch with us. Talk to him around 8:30 or so. And then our friend Richard Curtis from Fox 29. He's a teacher at Souderton High School, which is where my kids go, and he is the guy who was who actually won the contest, if you recall, for Live with Kelly, and hosted for a while with her. And now he's got a show coming up on Monday on Fox 29. It's called The Clash Room, and it's a game show where students face off against teachers.
I like this.
I like it, too.
Yeah.
And he's going to let us try it out this morning.
All right, cool.
So he's bringing by some students this morning.
All right.
That we are going to face off
against. Oh, we have to clash against the students?
We clash against the students.
I mean, if it's a fist fight, I think we got a chance.
Yeah, we can definitely do it.
We'll see what if there's physical challenges or whatever. Yeah, right. But anyhow, he's going to pop in. It's a show that's coming up on Monday on Fox 29. So those things and more. And I know we have a stack of giveaways. We got to make sure
we do
have a chance to win some stuff. You want to give something away now?
Yeah, Case? You know what? Let's see how many of these things we have. Because I would like to give away these things as early as today.
I agree because it's tomorrow. The event is tomorrow. This is the Dorney Park, Cream of the Scream stop number 1.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's their Halloween haunt at Dorney Park. So yeah, let's go ahead and give away 5 of these right now to 215-263-WMMR. Man, you have the run of the park. It's amazing.
You really, it's such a wonderful time because not only are all their separate haunts really good, but as you said, Preston, the rides are running.
Yeah.
And some of the shows that they do are all up and running.
Yeah.
And you have incredible access to it.
Absolutely. So this will be from 6 to 8 on Friday, tomorrow. So 5 callers at 215-263-WMMR, and they've got haunted mazes, scare zones, rides, and monsters that are prowling the park. Fear is waiting for you at Dorney Park. Go to DorneyPark.com/haunt for discount tickets. So 5 callers right now will have your chance to win. So we'll take a break. We'll try to fix our little technical issues here. I'm going to...
Oh, I got you, buddy.
You got it?
Yeah. Right,
start the music, please. There it is. We'll come back in a moment, and we will get into the entertainment report along with a stupid question that's on the way. Stay with us today. We're going to have a good time.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love and ready to get engaged? Visit Steven Singer Jewelers. Whether your budget is $500 or $5,000, Steven's Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection has your perfect ring at the perfect price. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I like big balls.
All right, so this morning our stupid question, get it right, and you can win yourself some tickets to Six Flags Fright Fest. And the question I have for you this morning is, which U.S. state has the highest number of colleges and universities? 215-263-WMMR. Which U.S. state has the highest number of colleges and universities? That's combined, I assume. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now, and we'll see if we can set you up with a prize. Birthdays, while we're waiting for your call Thursday, September 27th, include the lead singer of Three Doors Down, that is Brad Arnold.
Yes.
And he turns the big 40 today.
He's a good guy, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think count, yeah.
We've had that band by on many occasions for various events. And they're just one of these, you know, kind of bands that's written some really hooky, catchy songs. And,
are they good old boys?
Had a good career. I want to say they are. Nick, does it say where he was from?
Yeah, Mississippi. The first time I encountered them was before I started working for you guys. I was working here at the radio station, and they came up and did. We used to have bands at Day Off at the Slopes.
They had never seen snow,
they
right?
They had never seen snow. They came with Jack Frost, and these guys had never
that
been.
That is kind of cool.
Never been out of the Deep South long enough to see snow. And then I saw them 2 or 3 years ago at one of the MMA barbecues, and it was nothing but hits, one after another after another. And I had forgotten
that.
Every time the next song started. I was like, oh, yeah, they did this song, and I love it.
Yeah, and I think I remember an interview from Brad. It said that this song, Kryptonite, was written in like, I don't know, it was like, no, he was in like, it was like a junior in high school or something
really?
Like that. And sat there and wrote it in a class and just jotted it down. And there you go. It was probably their most well-known song. So he's 40 years old today. Hey. What?
Good news is I got volume back in my headphones. Yay. Bad news is that it's 30 seconds ago, so I'll tell you what's going on in the show 30
are you
seconds
serious?
Ago.
Are you serious?
You had the delay and they signal? Did this song, and I think...
hold your headphone. Well, hold your headphone up to the microphone. Yeah. See if it... Hang on.
Yeah.
I could just barely hear it.
No. Okay.
Here, I could turn the volume up.
Hold on.
He's hearing the delay signal.
That's a new one.
That's just
that's
never
new.
What the F is going on?
It's almost like you're podcasting.
Yeah. All right, anyhow, we'll move along. So he's 40 today. Gwyneth Paltrow has her birthday today. Gwenny is 46 years old.
The Goopstress.
She is the Goopstress, and she's, you know, she's very successful with Goop, by the way.
Honestly. I really do like her. If the only thing she's ever done and will ever do is Pepper Potts, she's awesome.
Mm-hmm. She is, she's a good actress.
We don't quite know what her fate was at the end of the first Avengers. the end of the latest Avengers. I don't know, no spoilers.
Yes, okay. Things happen that are universally cataclysmic.
So much stuff happened. I can't remember who.
Well, Tony leaves her.
I don't
know what I'm allowed to talk about.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know what happens.
She's 46 today. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind, lead singer, is 54 today. Avril Lavigne, pop singer, is 34.
And they're both of a time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right in that realm.
Avril, I think I read the other day, just wrote a song about how her life has been affected by Lyme disease.
She has really bad Lyme disease.
Yeah, it's been a real issue for her. She's 34. Another singer, Meatloaf.
Meatloaf. Oh,
double Beatloaf.
Yeah, double Beatloaf is 71 today.
How can you not like Meatloaf?
I've had the opportunity to meet him on a couple of occasions and super duper nice guy. In fact, I was at an event where he was signing autographs. It was a show. It was when he had his big comeback. And he... What was I saying?
Big comeback.
Oh, anyway, yeah. So, and he was signing autographs, and I was just kind of standing around. I met him earlier in the day. He's like, hey, come over and sit next to me.
Oh.
And so we sat down while he signed autographs, and I just talked to him for like 20 minutes.
Sit in my gravy.
He was a really nice guy. So he is 71 today. It's also Lil Wayne's birthday
today. Lil Wayne. Oh, my God.
Do I know any Lil Wayne songs?
You probably do.
All right.
Yeah. I know that he has a lot of his, well, not a lot, but a number of his songs crossed over into the popular pop music realm.
I wonder if we have any Lil Wayne sitting around this little...
He also does a lot of really profane stuff, too.
Lil Wayne is 36 today. It's also Wilford Brimley's birthday.
Oh, how old is he now?
He is 84 now.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Because he looked 84 in Cocoon.
Yeah.
And apparently he was only 50.
That's what you guys have said, that the math works out to that. It's so hard to believe. I mean, he played...
He looked much older.
He seemed like the oldest of them in that movie.
So the thing that was going around this summer, because Mission Impossible Fallout came out this summer, is that Tom Cruise is the same age in that movie that Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon. In real life.
That's awesome.
In real life.
Wow. A lot of great movies in his time, though, not just Cocoon. He was in The Firm and The Thing and The Natural.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. So he's 84 today.
You know, he was probably around the same age as Redford in The Natural. You know, like if Maybe. He was that age in Cocoon, he must have been pretty close to Redford, because Redford was in his 40s when The Natural came
out. He played Butch Cassidy in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. That was Paul Newman.
That was Paul Newman. Mark Maron has his birthday today as well. He is 55 years old, having tremendous success with his podcast. He gets a lot of big interviews.
Freaking Obama came by and had an interview, and he's on that show Glow.
Yeah, he is. I watched the first episode of it, and he was very, very funny. I'll have to catch some more of it, but I like him. I like his style, whatever it is.
He went through some massive ups and downs, and he is doing really well.
Then another comedian, a friend of ours, last birthday today on the list is Don Jameson of that metal show, and his stand-up as well, and has a great story about getting a hickey from, who was it?
Not Lita Ford, but
somebody. No, it's a
like
guy. It was a guy.
Gerald Ford.
No.
No, you're right.
Lost Boys.
Oh, Kiefer Sutherland.
Sutherland gave him a hickey.
Yeah.
It's one of his great stories. So Don Jameson is 52 today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Which U.S. state has highest number of colleges and universities? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I will go to Eric. Good morning, Eric. Hey, Eric, are you there? Maybe Eric's hearing us on a 30-second
quite possible, Preston.
Hey, Eric.
Eric.
Right, Eric.
He's gone.
Oh, my God.
I will instead try a nice guy named Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hey,
how you guys doing? See, he responds.
Yeah.
I'm great. Paul, do me a favor. Tell me what U.S. state has the highest number of colleges and universities.
Is it California?
California.
It is.
One moment, sir. Paul gets a pair of tickets for Six Flags Fright Fest. The new terror trails and scare zones include the all-new maze from the movie Hellfest, and it's weekends through October 31st for a limited time. Save 40% on tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Fright Fest, big thrills, big fright. Let's begin with Bill Cosby. Of course, we've covered a little bit about him, but there's some more details about where he is and what's going on in his life. America's dad is now inmate... Number NN7687.
It would have been bad if that was his name on the actual Cosby show.
He is now at the Pennsylvania State Correctional Institute at Phoenix. It's formerly known as Greaterford Prison.
Uh-huh.
Right next to it, anyway. It's a new one.
What are they doing with the old prison?
Don't know yet. Not sure what they're going to do with that. I mean, they have, I don't know if they'll turn it into an industrial park that the inmates can work at. I kind of doubt it.
May I suggest something?
Yeah.
It houses the new Preston and Steve Justice League.
Ooh. Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
All right. Because it has cells. We can keep the villains.
As soon as we get that, we'll start recruiting.
Yeah.
He will be housed there until he's transferred to a state prison. And a spokesperson for the maximum security prison told CNN that he was in good spirits when he arrived. The ultimate goal, according to spokeswoman Amy Warden, is to be to integrate him into the general population. He'll be there on an entry basis as we determine what programs he's eligible for.
I wonder what kind of treatment he's going to get, because, you know, sometimes a high-profile convict is a target, but he has such a benevolent, beloved, outside of the, you know, all the crimes he's obviously committed, high perception
and sexual predator.
And sexual predator. But yeah, I don't know. I guess the number one target, from what I understand, if you're in prison, mm-hmm. being targeted by other prisoners as if you're a pedophile or a child molester.
The facility has 3,830 beds. Every inmate is given a uniform, toiletries, linens, towels, and boots. He's being confined in a single 9-by-12-foot cell close to the infirmary. Every day at 6 a.m., Cosby is expected to stand and be counted along with the rest of the population. Breakfast begins at 7 a.m., lunch is served at 11. Dinner is dished out at 5, and he will be allowed phone calls and visitation and an opportunity to exercise. If desired, he can earn money doing laundry or work in their shoe factory.
Shoe factory.
The Pudding Pop spokesman can also take classes in custodial maintenance, carpentry, restaurant services, and warehouse operations, and he'll be required to attend sex offender treatment. Now, while he was prosecuted for assaulting Andrea Constand, several dozen other women accused him of assault, of course. Due to state the limitation laws, however, only her case could be tried. But supermodel Janice Dickinson was one of the most vocal accusers, and she has released a statement following his sentencing. She said the harrowing memory of the rape continues to this day. This was through her lawyer, Lisa Bloom. At one point, I moved to Milan, Italy to get away, where I hoped not to see or hear of Cosby again. But the rape is etched into my soul. I was never the same. I will never be the same. Former celebrity inmate O.J. Simpson spoken out.
Yeah, just the person you want speaking up on your behalf.
He said, well, he's not speaking on his behalf. He's just talking about the
he's worried about him.
No, he was just saying what he might expect in jail.
Yeah, because I read a quote he pressed him where he said he was basically concerned about his safety in jail.
Well, he said, I'm sure that there will be guys protecting him, but they're going to have to put him into protective custody because it takes one nut, you know.
One nut in jail.
Yeah, he said that rapists are often targeted by other inmates for punishment.
Huh.
So he's just...
Fortunately, I was just a double murderer.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So... So it's begun, and obviously there will be more updates on what he is, what we're expecting of his fate over the next few months.
Yeah,
to figure out what they're going to do with him. You know, Dakota Johnson is finally confirming her long rumored romance with Chris Martin.
We already knew this.
Yeah, but she's officially
all right.
You know, she hadn't said anything. The 28-year-old Fifty Shades star has reportedly been dating Martin since late last year. Earlier this month, they were spotted with twin infinity tattoos.
Ooh, they must have seen the movie.
So she told the Tattler, I'm not going to talk about it. Talking about a relationship with the 41-year-old Martin, but I am very happy. Johnson covers the November issue of the Tattler. So.
You know, she's on Instagram. Her handle is Dakota Johnson. She has 2.6 million followers for all of her zero posts.
Not one.
Not one post.
No. And she's following 44 accounts. So,
well,
interesting.
I like her. Can't help it.
Gisele Bündchen, one of the most successful models in the world and married to one of the most successful athletes in the world. Photos of her on social media show her glamorous red carpet events, breastfeeding while prepping for a lingerie photo shoot.
She can do it all.
Blissful vacations with family and friends. Yet... in a new book
called
Lessons, My Path to a Meaningful Life.
I don't like where this is going.
She reveals a darker side.
Oh, my God.
The 38-year-old writes that she once had panic attacks so severe she contemplated suicide. Mm.
I would like you to unhook your bra.
She sat down with People magazine to discuss her new book and past struggles. She said, things can be looking perfect on the outside, but you have no idea what's really going on, she tells People magazine.
Panic attacks can be crippling. My brother used to suffer from them, and it really takes a toll.
She said, I felt like maybe it was time to share some of my vulnerabilities, and it made me realize everything I've lived through, I would never change because I think I am who I am because of those experiences.
She is who she is. I've seen her.
She was one of six girls raised in Brazil. Things began to look up once a modeling scout discovered her, but she said, they told me, your nose is too big and your eyes are too small and you're never going to be on the cover of a magazine.
Isn't that lovely?
That must have been crushing.
She wasn't even asking Preston. She just was walking down the street and people would come up and tell her. That's how cruel they are there in Brazil.
So, wait a minute. So she's going to start a modeling career.
Yeah.
But it was crushing to hear that she would never be on the cover of a magazine.
Well, she realized that being a model would mean being judged for her looks. which is kind of the entire industry.
That's exactly what it is. That all changed when she walked topless in Alexander McQueen's runway show in
1995. We didn't even notice your nose.
But in 2003, after becoming a tabloid fixture and dating the likes of Leonardo DiCaprio, she began suffering panic attacks.
So she blames DiCaprio.
I don't know. She said, I had a wonderful position in my career. I was very close to my family, and I always considered myself a positive person. So I was really beating myself up, like, why should I be feeling this? I felt I wasn't allowed to feel bad, she says.
How scared.
But I felt powerless. Your world becomes smaller and smaller, and you can't breathe, which is the worst feeling I've ever had. Soon, the panic attacks were even happening at home. She said, I actually had the feeling of it. If I just jump off my balcony, this is going to end, and I never have to worry about this feeling.
Wow.
Of my world closing in.
Now, mind you, she did live on the first floor.
Oh.
Yeah.
so mean.
Well, in context, aww, it seems less.
Listen, and I understand, you know, how crippling panic attacks can be. I had them because what turned out to be an esophageal spasm.
Yes.
Which I thought was a heart attack.
A heart attack. You think they're heart attacks.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And then all of a sudden your heart starts going crazy. You're like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You're breathing heavy and all this stuff. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. But, I mean, you know.
But you're rich and beautiful, so shut up.
That's part of me.
I know it sounds dismissive, but we all would think that. Look at how gorgeous she is. Look at where she was in life. But you can't.
Yeah,
there's no rhyme or reason
that,
to it.
But she doesn't think that.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a cure to that, if your world feels like it's closing in on you, is, you know, go to a women's shelter or go to a soup kitchen or something and take in a little bit of perspective. And that might.
You would hope.
Yeah, I would hope that would.
But you know what? It doesn't, because my brother described it. He was having a full blown panic attack, and he was in the car, and I was actually holding. I was driving and holding him down with one arm on his chest to keep him from jumping out of the car.
Yeah.
And I drove him to the hospital, and he said, "Listen, here's what I was going through. I knew I wasn't going to die,
right,
and I was completely sure I was going to die at the same time." So there's no rhyme or reason, but he was panicking like he didn't know how to process it.
Did somebody tell him his nose was too big?
He said his nose was too big.
And that he would
no, you know what he did have, though, Preston?
What?
Mitral valve prolapse, which he'd have like a heart flutter like you had your esophageal thing.
Okay.
And it made him think he was dying.
That's a physical thing.
Right. Not a big nose,
my
ass isn't as tight as it used to be.
I used to get these in high school. What is there really to worry about in high school? You know, when you look back.
Yeah,
right?
So but then.
It's in perspective.
You don't know that.
It's all
you
relative.
Don't know.
It's relative to the sufferer, though. Yeah. And, then you can't, like you say, you can't. You have to be in their shoes, no matter, even if they're $1,100.
Even if they're beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous body.
Yeah.
She was afraid that she'd never be a billionaire.
Taller.
And you know, she was only in the millions at that point, so. Listen, I know I'm dismissive of it and I say that, but I mean, really, if it's a mental thing, I don't know, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, she hit the freaking jackpot.
She did hit the jackpot. It all worked out.
The jackpot.
It all, you know.
Beautiful boobies.
Exactly.
Beautiful boobies.
Give me a few panic attacks.
And I've had them, man. So after deciding she didn't want to rely on drugs to medicate her anxiety, she revamped her lifestyle. So she didn't want to, I don't know if that means being prescribed.
Yeah, like a Xanax or a Valium or something like
yes.
that.
Or she said I'd been smoking cigarettes, drinking a bottle of wine, and 3 mocha frappuccinos every day.
Oh my God, she had a problem.
And
can you come in here, Giselle? We want you to talk to a barista.
What is this?
This is an intervention.
We want you to talk to a barista.
You have wandered down a life path that could be very detrimental to you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, your nose is too big.
As part of her therapy, they play the sound of the.
Yeah. There you go.
So she had said. So anyhow,
by the way, your nose is venti.
She had to give up the 3 mocha frappuccinos every day. I said, I thought.
She has 3 small espressos.
If this stuff is in any way the cause of the pain in my life, it's got to go. And so she also split from Leonardo.
Who was a coffee enabler.
And eventually met and married Tom Brady, with whom she shares a...
drink coffee.
But, you know, listen, if she has anxiety from a mental issue, then I'd sympathize. Absolutely.
It's our... It's the way we are, you know, we tend to do it. We look at people who we perceive as having everything, and it's hard for us to fathom them going through this. But it was real to her.
Kevin Hart is so grateful for his wife, Aniko. The actor sat down with People to discuss how far they've come since a former close friend allegedly tried to extort him over a video of him cheating on his wife nearly a year ago. Well, Kevin quickly took to social media to address the situation, apologizing to the then pregnant Aniko and their kids, Heaven and Hendrix, for his bad error in judgment. He is still grateful that they were able to move forward.
You remember the one thing he did in that case is that he owned it and admitted it.
Yeah.
Quickly.
He had to.
He had to.
He said, the friendship that I have with my wife is insane. He said, yes, that's my wife. We're lovers. It's a relationship. It's marriage. But the friendship we have is like no other. Kevin referred to the cheating scandal as, quote, the most difficult test ever. He said, and you know, sometimes those tests come from stupidity, but it's how you handle it and how you decide to move forward from it.
He described himself as the Balky with her as the Cousin Larry.
Okay. Oh. He said, I applaud my wife for displaying a high level of strength that I can't even explain. I applaud her for being my backbone, my support system, and more importantly, taking my life to the next level.
My penis carport.
That dude full on busted cheating.
Absolutely.
Full on.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
But, you know, if the case is we get sort of... jaded with all this stuff, but they made the promise to, you know, better for worse, and if they've made peace with it and they're moving on and he remains a good boy, then that's cool.
Yeah. Or if he keeps cheating and they keep going with better or worse.
This is just the worst part. We should have see how I crossed out the better part there.
Right. All right, listen to this. Meghan Markle created an uproar Tuesday night.
What did she do? Did she piss on the Queen?
No, she closed her own car door.
Oh my God!
See, I took it a little
second
bit
only to pissing on the Queen.
She not supposed to do that?
She is not supposed to do that.
But she is a modern woman who knows how to close a car door.
The Duchess of Sussex headed out on her first solo outing for an official engagement since becoming a royal, and all was going swimmingly until the pearl-clutching car door closing incident.
My lady, you cannot be wiping your own bum.
They're calling it an incident?
as CNN's Victoria Arbiter put it, current state, poking my own eyes out after reading Meghan broke protocol by shutting her car door. Car door shutting does not fall under protocol.
Will somebody lose their job over that?
People in the background of the video, like they're like, oh my gosh.
Guy actually puts a gun in his mouth and blows his head off.
I want to see this. So we're watching a guy opens the door, his hand was on it, she comes out, shakes someone's hand. And then I think she just instinctively just reaches
just
over
shuts
and shuts the door.
It's what I would do.
Which is what anybody does. Yeah. And so.
I love it.
Somebody's like, you are so fired.
Yeah, there's two people behind. You know, they're like, oh, my gosh.
When
the
camera goes away, you are fired.
What you don't see is she's just such a regular person. She goes around the corner and pees in an alleyway.
This seems like nothing, and to us it is nothing, but like I think there's going to be more of this where she's just going to be herself and not really go by protocol.
And by the way, the people love it. The Brits love it. Yeah. They love the making a bridge between them and there are also certain things that they love about the monarchy and the procedure and the protocol that they adore. But closing a car door doesn't seem that much of a misfire. Yeah.
After laying low and bonding with Prince Louis since welcoming him on April 23rd, the Duchess of Cambridge is heading back to
Prince Charles,
the grindstone. Kate Middleton announced that she will visit the Sayers Croft Forest School and Wildlife Garden at Paddington Recreation Ground on Tuesday.
And she'll be there between noon and two. There'll be free Humphrey flyers for the children and hot dogs.
The 36-year-old will learn how the school aims to expose thousands of urban children to nature via outdoor activities.
Huh.
She'll resume her normal jam-packed schedule in January. And also, of course, she shares Prince George, Princess Charlotte, and with Prince William as well. besides Louis. We'll have to check their schedules while we're in London and see if they're doing any kind of public appearances.
I know they're eager to come by and visit the show. Kathy's working on that right now. And every time, yes, it's the immediate response. Yes, yes, they would love to visit the Preston and Steve morning breakfast show. Yes.
We'd have a better
chat show.
We'd have a better chance running into them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, than just randomly.
We'd have a better shot of landing King Henry VIII. Yeah.
Office alum Rashida Jones has welcomed her first child with her boyfriend and Vampire Weekend singer Ezra Koenig. Huh.
I love Vampire Weekend.
I like Vampire Weekend, yeah.
So she's 42. I don't know how old
he's 17.
Is. Okay. Their baby boy was reportedly born in August. You notice that a lot of these babies are born, and we don't even hear about it for months now.
I know.
Or at least a month or so away. They're really good at hiding the release of the information. How old is he, Nick?
It don't say here.
It don't say. I think he's younger than her.
He's probably like...
right, he's 300 years
old. Immortal. Yes.
He's immortal,
yeah,
right.
At least.
Yeah. They were first linked in 2016, so they had a baby.
So they met on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. After weighing options, 21st Century Fox has decided to sell 39% stake in Sky to Comcast for more than $15 billion.
This means that Comcast is going to have a substantial cable and entertainment providing outlet in Europe.
The Philadelphia-based conglomerate will now have full control of the European network. Disney approved the move. Of course, the House of Mouse is set to acquire most of Fox, which would have also made its Sky's step parent. Disney chairman and CEO Bob Iger said, along with the net proceeds from the divestiture of the RSNs, the sale of at least Fox's Sky Holdings will substantially reduce the cost of our overall acquisition to allow us to aggressively invest in building and creating high quality content for our direct consumer platforms to meet the growing demands of viewers.
Do you think? I mean, it is possible that, and we're talking years and years and years down the road, that there's just going to be one company, WorldCo. And it's going to own all of the stuff.
Skynet.
Skynet,
by and large.
No.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, there'll always be, there may be super large companies, but not one.
Maybe two
ecumenical
companies.
I'll tell you what I'm interested in. Will this allow us to possibly get, instead of like we have BBC America, could we get access to the actual channels in their raw form from Europe?
I don't necessarily want them. I don't, for some reason, I just don't care for British shows.
And you think they know that?
Yeah, no, but I mean, it doesn't.
I do.
What you're asking is it doesn't matter to me, but no, for you, you like Doctor Who and some of those other ones.
I'd be curious to see. It'd be interesting to watch, you know, local programming or from another, you know, British programming.
It's really only a matter of time before you can watch whatever you want, wherever you want, from whatever continent. You know, it's just there's too much content, but it's just going to continue to proliferate, and you'll be able to see wherever you, you know, whatever you want when.
Eventually.
Yeah.
This was sad news. I don't know who this guy is, but he died. John Paul Vasquez, the Sons of Anarchy star, was 48 years old.
I'm just looking at the name and what he was in, and he's got to be like one of two guys that was in that show.
There were only two guys in that show?
No. Just when I look at him, I'm like, okay, it had to have been one of like two characters.
There were literally two Sons of Anarchy.
Actually, I mean, there was a whole bunch of Sons of Anarchy. There was one son. And you know what? That's not the guy I was thinking of.
Okay.
All right. So I have no idea who this dude is.
All right. Well, he's dead. The cause of death is being investigated, but multiple reports say he was found dead in his father's home. He appeared in a number of iconic shows. He was on ER, NYPD Blue, and 21 Jump Street.
So he's been around for a while.
Yeah, but I don't... He was more of a bit player on some of these shows.
I'm thinking.
One last story. Kristen Bell, Josh Gad, and Zachary Levin will voice their iconic roles from Frozen and Tangled for Kingdom Hearts 3. It's a role-playing game from Square Enix and Disney, and will feature several iconic Disney Pixar characters. The series focuses on Sora, his companions Donald Duck and Goofy. Haley Joel Osment will voice Sora with Tony Anselmo and Bill Farmer reprising their roles as the Duck and Goofy.
That's pretty cool.
Kingdom Hearts 3 will be released for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on January 25th of next year. So,
and And Ralph Breaks the Internet, the second Wreck-It Ralph, a lot of those princesses show up,
yes.
And they are those actors as well.
Yes.
So
nice.
Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel and all of them, they show up in the scenes with Vanellope.
Yep. All right, let's do these clips here. How to Get Away with Murder premieres its fifth season tonight. Here, Viola Davis discusses the process of creating such a likable lead character in Annalise Keating.
Sometimes there's a discussion. A lot of times I drive Pete Nowak a little bit crazy with the late night phone calls. And sometimes it's just a diving in there and seeing what lands, seeing what sticks, seeing what works.
A new season of How to Get Away with Murder premieres tonight. That'll be at 10 o'clock, and that is on ABC. Here's your next clip. Law & Order Special Victims Unit is entering its 20th season.
Un-freaking-real.
Here, Mariska Hargitay is talking about the show's unbelievable run.
Everyone says, like, can you believe it? And I said, no, because I feel like I've been in a marathon for 20 years. And so, you know, when you keep your nose to the grindstone and you're trying to get it done, and then you wake up one day, it's 20 years later. And so it's been such an incredible journey. And I always say one of the things that's been incredible about it is that it's had these different lives.
Hi, Grandma.
Law & Order SVU premieres tonight at 10, and that is on NBC. 20 years, man.
I was putting together something like an IKEA piece of furniture, so the marathon or one of their constant marathons was on, and yeah. I literally could not discern when one episode had ended.
Sure.
Yeah,
and
right.
Another one had
absolutely
begun.
Yeah. And I'll be watching them because my wife has it on a loop constantly on TV at home, and it will seem like they solved the issue. They got
right.
they got the bad guy.
But they didn't.
And then it goes on for another 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I thought that was the end of the show.
Yeah.
And they put him in handcuffs. They're taking him away.
And then they do solve it, and you have no idea that they did.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and John Mulaney did a bit about it in one of his stand-up routines where it's hilarious how casual some of the people that they come to interview are, like a guy that works at a bar.
Right.
Here's homicide detectives
yeah.
that show up, and this guy seems like he can't be bothered.
Yeah, he's
right
cleaning
now.
The bar.
I got customers here.
Come on, I got side work to
you
do.
Know, what are you doing? And they don't even bat an eye
yeah.
that these homicide detectives have come in to investigate a murder for a guy that worked for this person.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just... And that's the way it always is.
It always
There's
is.
Just casually yeah, talking yeah. to these detectives.
Yeah, I think I know him.
The show's got a great formula, and it's been on for 20 seasons. That's amazing, man.
It's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. All right, and there you go. That's what we have for you, Entertainment Report, this morning. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. If you guess on the show, step number one, though, will be $1,000 in your pocket. We're hoping that's what happens, okay? Birthday bucks, less than an hour from now. We don't want you to miss on it. Around 8 o'clock, we're going to reveal what that special word is you'll need to enter, and I'll tell you how to do it and everything. We'll be back in a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live.
When you can call in.
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Nick, you were gesturing. Is it just like a sliver of sunlight?
I swear to God, yeah, Steve. So
I took a picture of
it. All right, yeah. So if you go around the corner and you look out, the clouds are, there's an inch, you know, by holding my thumb and forefinger up to the horizon. That's how much sunlight there actually is peeking through the clouds. However, we'll take it.
Oh,
right.
You just don't see it these days.
My wife was about, she said she was going to break out the happy lamp the other day.
Oh, my God.
I have mine.
Do you have yours?
Yeah.
Just because of our lack of, what is it,
vitamin D?
Vitamin D. I was actually told to start using it after Labor Day. I haven't plugged mine in yet. Bill thinks it's a novelty item. But,
he does.
Bill doesn't like it.
What is that, a Jewish thing?
What?
It's so Bill, bizarre. Like,
you gotta love Bill to death. It's just too much.
Oh my God.
He says some things that are just like making you go, what?
He's
what?
Just like what? Pop culture. He's a smart guy, but there's just some things that have eluded him and he doesn't understand.
Pop culture is just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Human stuff.
Oh, my God. Okay. Listen, I know that we on this show many times have talked about baby names. There's usually lists that come out and say the most popular baby names of the year, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And I kind of glance over these things when I see them. But
There's almost too many of them, but you like this one.
Well, I saw this article. It says 40 modern baby names for parents who want to stay ahead of the trends. So I click. It's a slideshow, so I'm going to have to go through that, which slideshows annoy the hell out of me. But like the first few, I'm like, oh, hey, these are pretty good. And a couple I had never heard of
before. All right, so if a jaded baby name pro like yourself can be interested.
I thought this was kind of fascinating.
Did you, when you were naming your kids, did you scour lists? Did you have an idea? We've talked about this before because I think we've mentioned this, but I think it's true. It is a, there is a heavy weight to be considered when naming someone. What the moniker they will bear the rest of their lives, unless they're Meatloaf.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, there's a little hand-wringing, and we did buy baby name books.
Right.
And we flipped through them a little bit.
Did you fight over it?
No. Not at all. We had no problem, and we, you know, we had some decision-making, and we had boys and girls' names because we didn't know the sex of the children.
Right.
So we had to have a boy and girl name. Rochelle remembers the opposite sex names that we had picked
up. Oh, really?
I don't remember them, yeah.
I remember your daughters. There was two names you guys were going between Caroline and Skylar.
Yes, Skylar was another one being considered, yeah.
I wish I would have named Casey. I wish I would have named her Josie. That's the only thing.
Okay.
I love the name Josie, and I'm going to have to, like, name my dog Josie now. You know, like, when I get a dog.
You have a dog.
When I get another dog.
Oh. That's you. You hang it. Yeah. There's one you like, and you're like, damn it, I'm giving somebody this name.
Uh-huh. I think Casey is so perfect for your daughter.
Yeah.
Now I couldn't think of her as anything but.
Exactly.
Well, that's the way a name goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once it's there, it's there. But before I get into this list, I did see this from the Social Security Administration. Laura Wettenberg of the organization said that there's an interesting thing that's been happening. The name Heather has fallen off drastically in the last few years.
Okay.
It says the rise and fall of Heather is exemplary of the faddish nature of American names. She said when fashion is ready for a name, even a tiny spark can make it take off. She said Heather climbed gradually into popularity through the 1950s and 60s, then took the biggest leap in 1969, a year that featured a popular Disney TV movie called Guns in the Heather. And that's why it took off.
So they're able to attribute it to that. I'm not familiar with Guns and the Heather.
A whole generation of Heathers followed, at which point Heather became a mom name, and then young parents pulled away from it.
See, because of where we are, Preston, in the pop culture chain, Heather to me always was a sexy name. Heather Locklear.
Yeah, exactly.
Heather Thomas.
Agreed. There were some hot Heathers, no question. So
saying the word Heather over and over and over again, just
it makes your tongue bleed.
No, it kind of has lost its meaning. Like
you do that with any word.
Like it's just sounds. Yeah.
Spam, spam.
Yeah.
I think of the 80s movie with the remaking. That's for whatever reason. That's the first thing that pops into my head.
Heathers. Okay. So this list, which by the way, is from Cafe Mom.
Cafe Mom, I read it every day.
I'll go through some of these, and they're mixed in gender. So Renzo.
Renzo?
Is the first one on the list. Yeah, Renzo Gracie's the first one I thought of, Casey. But Lorenzo experienced a surge in popularity in the past decade, but the modern take of it, Renzo, is apparently strong and romantic and makes for an easy nickname.
I think Lorenzo would be my preference over Renzo.
Now, how would you pronounce this? Therry. Is that theory?
I would say Thierry.
Thierry.
The hard T, yeah.
Okay. Because Thierry, I think, is kind of an interesting name.
Yeah.
I
think it's French-Canadian?
It's French, yes. French origins and evokes feelings of strength and power. It also decidedly is a designer name for the baby who was born stylish.
Ooh.
All right. How about this one? Zephyr.
Wait. All right. I like that.
Zephyr means nothing.
No, yeah, it does. It means it's a Greek word for it's from the word
a wind. Go ahead.
Correct. Zephyrus, which means west wind.
Cipher is what I was thinking of.
Cipher.
All right.
Okay. That means nothing.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Not zero. Okay. Cipher. I don't know.
Not sure.
Are these boy and girl names? Like, what are? Does it have a gender designation? Okay.
This one in particular, Zephyr.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking of the Thierry. The second one.
I would imagine that could go either way. I mean, like Casey, that's not necessarily gender specific. But this says if you're looking for a name that starts with a Z, pretty good choice.
Do you? I'm okay with a cool name, but you do risk, as we've said many times before, in school, being targeted for your name.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that part of that, yeah, it can happen.
Hey, listen, kids right. are...
doesn't matter what the name is.
It doesn't matter what the name is. Yeah.
They'll find a way to screw it up.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, how about this one? Slate.
Slate. Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Reminded me of Slater.
Okay.
All right. You see Slater.
It's definitely... it's firm.
It's like stone, I guess.
Yeah, it's got a masculine name to it for sure. But it says here that it could be unisex. For if you're looking for something gender neutral. What, Casey?
No, I would like Slater better, Kath.
Okay. But this is Slate. How about this? Exton.
Exton.
Interesting.
Wow.
I like that.
They got a mall there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
anything with a mall.
Marple Township.
King of Prussia.
Listen, so my wife's cousin, she has named her son Trenton. And it was the father that picked the name. And so we were out in California visiting them. And I'm like, well, why'd you go with Trenton? And he goes, from the city in New Jersey. I'm like, have you ever been there? Said, no, I just like the sound of it. I'm like, oh.
Okay. If you were there, yeah. You wouldn't have named your kid that. Trenton.
But now.
This is his brother, Chester.
Now that I met him, and we spent time with him, I love that name. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really cool name, Trenton.
What do you call him, Trent?
Short?
Sure. Yeah.
The problem is, you can't name a child after a town that is around you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
because it'll be confusing.
Sure. Right. Well, so not confusing.
They're removed.
Yeah, but like, where is this Trenton from?
California.
Yeah. So like, there's not going to be that immediate association. Like, being here in the shadows of Trenton.
Hmm.
You disagree.
Chicago West is, Kanye's moving to Chicago. So
yes,
be in
that could be an issue.
I don't know. So Exton, it says a little bit edgy and a little bit preppy. Exton is the perfect boy name for parents who want a mix of both. It's a modern baby name at its finest. All right. Odger.
Odger.
Never heard of that one.
Hmm.
O-D-G-E-R.
Exton That's and weird. Odger both sound British to me.
Okay. It says an old-fashioned, it sounds old-fashioned, but has a modern ring to it. So I'd never heard of
Odger.
Yeah. How about, here's another one, Eero.
How do you spell that?
E-E-R-O.
These are a little weird.
It's a Finnish origin to the name, and it means eternal ruler. Wow.
Okay.
Eero.
That's pretty cool. It says Eero just sounds cool, like the name of a dude who is calm, cool, and collected.
More like Zero.
It's also the name of a famous Finnish-American architect.
Of course.
But you're right, Steve. You could get slapped with Zero.
Zero.
Very easily.
Yes.
Lennox.
Like the plates and the fine china.
My best friend growing up, his middle name was Lennox.
Or the boxer Lennox Lewis.
Well, he got his name because I think there's a town in China that his grandfather had been to called Lennox, and so they went with that. It's also a dishware.
Yes, yeah. My wife collects a fair amount of the Lennox stuff. My original name was Hummel Figurine.
Hummel Figurine. Yeah. And they decided not to go with that?
They said no. They said Steve is better.
Okay. I like this one, Audio.
Audio.
Isn't that interesting?
All right. What do you think of that? Would you ever consider Audio?
We probably wouldn't end up have done that. I don't think Rochelle is as adventurous as I am with names, but I think Audio is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, you hate it?
Well, yeah. I think then is Video up for grabs then?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But Audi would be a pretty easy nickname for that. Audie Murphy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Zayden.
Zayden is getting there. I could work that.
Now I'm thinking of Tom Papa.
I am too. Yeah. Jayden.
Jayden. Brayden.
Do your best.
Jayden.
Zayden. How do you spell Zayden?
Z-A-Y-D-E-N.
Okay.
Bellamy is another one they're saying is good to stay ahead of the trends.
Bellamy.
Bellamy, yeah.
So by the ahead of the trends, there are people who are currently sporting these names.
I would imagine so. It says Bellamy makes for one adorably modern baby girl name. Even better, the name is said to mean good friend.
See, when I hear Bellamy, I think of the actor Ralph Bellamy. Okay. So I think of a masculine name.
I think of Beverly, which makes me think of Major League Yabos.
All comes back to boobs.
She got beautiful boobies.
She got beautiful boobies.
Orly.
Orly?
Yeah, O-R-L-Y.
Oh, I heard of that.
Isn't that, oh, really?
No, no. Well, I don't know what the derivation is, but it's a an airport in Paris. There are two airports. One is Charles de Gaulle. One is Orly.
Is it spelled the same way, Nick?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And that's a French name that I, you know, that I know of.
But I'm talking about in text parlance, O-R-L-Y. Isn't that oh, really?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, Orly, how many times I told you stay away from a microwave or fries the metal plate in your head?
Go get Orly out of there.
Yeah, Orly's stuck in the 7-Eleven, got in a seizure there by that microwave.
Hang on, let me go to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay. That's all right, Sharon. What's going on?
So I am from Marlton, New Jersey, and I was at a soccer tournament a couple weeks ago, and there were two boys there, not brothers. One was named Trenton, and the other was named Camden.
Trenton and Camden.
Yep, both not related.
Huh.
And my son's teacher in first grade, her name was Orly.
Orly, okay.
Oh, well, these are then a lot more common than I would have thought.
Trenton and Camden, okay.
Yep.
All right. About Runnymede?
That you never know.
Could that be? I mean, what? Would you ever consider, I mean, Springfield, if you're going to name after towns?
No, this is my grandson, Wildwood Crest.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it could be, the first name could be Wildwood, middle name
yeah.
Crest.
Could be maybe. Crest, yeah.
I'm going to go to Shireen. She says she always gets her name slaughtered. Did I slaughter it, Shireen?
No, you didn't.
All right, I got it right. How do you spell Shireen?
It's C-H-E-R-E-N-E.
I've never met a Shireen.
No.
Before. That's a great name.
Is it a double-edged sword? Do you love its uniqueness and hate it at the same time?
Yeah. Hated it as a kid because nobody can pronounce it. And now that I'm older, I kind of like it. But...
Yeah.
Let me ask you, did you get things like latrine?
I used to be in the Girl Scouts, and they call me Shireen Latrine.
Shireen Latrine. There you go. Kids wow. are so supportive.
Wow. Interesting. You know, so I have a unique name, Preston.
Yes.
You hear it a little bit more now, but when I was a kid, there was nobody. I met no one
right.
named Preston. I hated it. I absolutely couldn't stand it.
Was that the first choice for the name, did your parents ever say? Or?
Yeah, as far as I know. Right. And later on, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed its uniqueness, which was cool. Now, as far as nicknames coming up, one I used to hate that my family gave me, my middle name is O'Neill.
Yeah.
So they used to call me Preston Oatmeal. I hated it.
Hate it.
Come on.
Used to piss yeah. me off. You know?
Preston Oatmeal?
Preston.
What did you
Preston
say?
Preston Oatmeal.
Yeah, bitch. That's not a nickname.
Did you guys get any that you hated?
From your parents?
Yeah.
No.
No.
It was Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Kathy.
Not from the family, but.
Or dummy.
I went all through grade school from kindergarten, eighth grade, and there was a Stacy in my class. So that was like the big. Can't you see Stacy? Stacy and Casey. And I hated that.
Dude, I love your middle name.
Kavanaugh?
Casey's got one of the coolest middle names ever. I Kavanaugh would be a great first name.
Yeah.
You know?
Cav.
Yo, Cav, what's up, man?
Yeah.
You should open up a place on the river.
Kavanaugh?
A couple of different places should open up.
All right, so back to this list of these names that apparently are a little offbeat. And there's some good ones here. Pixie.
Pixie. Oh, I think of Pixie Sticks. I think of a little waif.
I think of the band, and Nick Murphy is his favorite band. His ears just perked up because he thought, this whole time we've been talking about this, he's been looking at me going, I have the best names. I have the best names. Because, you know, they're going to have babies again.
Yeah.
Pixie, dude.
I don't think he thought of Pixie yet.
Okay.
There you go.
Kathy, what were you going
to
say?
No, I used to love the name Dixie.
Okay.
Dixie and Pixie.
It was a character on All My Children. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that name before. And I always loved that.
Dixie Carter.
Yeah.
The actress who was in Designing Women.
Designing Women, yeah. Xanda. Yeah. It means man's defender.
Ooh.
Is it from Alexander?
It is.
Okay.
Alexandra.
Oh, this is a female's name.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a strong moniker for a girl who owns her power.
I own my power.
I've heard Xander. This is my favorite
song. Take back my life song. Here's another good one. Chi, which of course is...
Che.
Or no.
C-H-I.
That could be Kai.
Kai, I thought, was K-A-I.
Well, I mean, that's the Greek letter. That's the way you spell Kai in
I was
Greek.
Thinking of the Asian, you know,
yeah,
inner,
chi,
inner
the
power.
Chi, yeah.
The chi,
yeah.
So I don't know. It says meaning younger energy. Chi feels like a force to be reckoned with, or Kai. This is one baby girl name that's full of life, it says here. Okay. Now, this is a bit of a throwback. Ren
from the Footloose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only
Is that Renfield?
Well, spelled W-R-E-N, as in the bird.
Oh, okay.
Wren can either mean small bird or ruler. Either way, it's a sweet name for a girl whose parents want something a little different.
So I think of Wren for as a guy's name from Footloose.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
the
too.
The edgy, out-of-town, the loner who can dance like nobody's beeswax.
Was his name spelled R-E-N, though?
I thought it was R-E-N.
I think it was R-E-N, not W-R-E-N.
Is Renfield a name? Renfield is always, I perceive Renfield as Dracula's servant.
Right.
What do you think of the name Zangief?
Zangief.
Yeah.
From Street Fighter.
Yeah. So
have we not considered Street Fighter names?
Ryu is a good name.
Blanca.
Dalsim. Yeah. Blanca. His, my daughter, Blanca.
M. Bison. For crying out loud. Bison.
Yoga Fire. Bison.
How about that?
Julie Jerkoff.
forgive me.
That's been taken.
Julie Jerkoff is a perfect name.
She recently graduated from college.
Yeah. The ceremony was lovely, attended by a lot of people.
Casey's going
to
look for that.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, we have to now.
Here is, I really like this one, Aspen.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I've heard that too.
Aspen?
That's a good name. Mm-hmm. I like that.
You know what you're going to get, though? Aspern.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Ass Bandit.
I like ass. I like Aspen. I just said I like ass.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
We all do.
It's true.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
I just think of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. What?
We all. She flew to Aspen and out of my life forever.
Oh, I got you. All right.
Julie Jerkoff. Forgive me, Kirkoff.
It's the best. You got to remember, you got to think about that when they're up on stage getting their diploma. What kind of mispronunciation of their name is going to occur.
Julie Jerkoff. Forgive me, Kirkoff.
Forgive me.
All right, what else do I have here? Lake.
I've seen Lake Bell.
Lake Bell is a beautiful woman.
Lake is actually a fine name.
Lake's a good name.
Muddy Bog is a bad name for a girl.
Evie. E-V-I-E.
Yeah, I know a couple of Evies.
And Evie is the heroine in V for Vendetta, so I think that's pretty cool. Freya. Wow, I never heard that one before.
How about Estiva?
Freya is derived from the Norse goddess of love and fertility. The name is experiencing a modern resurgence. I like some of these Norse.
Yeah. Yes.
When we went to Scandinavia last year, we tried to take on Nordic names as our nicknames for each other.
Right, right.
It was like, you know.
What was yours?
I don't even remember.
It was Thor, wasn't it?
Jorgensen Fortenford or something to the other, but. But there are some cool names. The shorter ones are pretty cool. How about this one? Atlas.
Atlas, again, wow. Yes. That's set the bar high.
Big and bold. Solaris.
Solaris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice name.
George Clooney movie.
Is it?
It's Isn't a science it? Fiction, yes.
All right. Breeze. B-R-E-E-S or like Breeze. Drew Breeze. Yeah.
Jinx.
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah. Yeah. Pippin.
Yeah.
Is Pippin a good name? I don't know.
Well,
no.
No. Yeah,
it's Lord of the Rings, isn't it? One of the Hobbits, Pippin. Pippin Merriweather.
Pippin's I just think of the musical Pippin.
Okay.
That too, yeah.
How do you pronounce this? K-A-I-U-S. How do you pronounce that? K-A-I-U-S.
Caius. Caius is a cool name. It has a Roman sound to it. Caius Aurelius Maximus.
Kai and Kaia. Have had their moments in the sun in terms of baby names, but this one, this takes on those that has a most royal quality to it. Caius. That's in the line of almost pious, you know what
Yes.
I mean? Which, I wonder if pious could be okay.
There's a pope, right? Pope Pius.
Yeah. By the way, these are from Mom Cafe, and these are trendier names that you can go with that haven't really hit a trend yet.
I haven't heard a lot of these names.
No, let me go some calls on baby names here. I know we've done this before, but these are a little more unique. I'm going to go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Are the police cops there?
The police cops are coming.
Who said that? Is that Marissa? Police cops?
Police cops and gobs of cops.
Anyhow,
gobs of cops.
Matt, go ahead, man.
I named my son after my father, so when I yell at him, it feels better.
Named your son after your father.
Very good.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Hang on. Let me go to this one sounds pretty cool, man. Let me go to Anna. Hey, Anna, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, tell us about your cousin's baby name.
He was just born yesterday, and they named him Titan.
Titan.
Dude, the one thing you just hope for is that he's a... like a robust kid, because if he's a bookish, my name is Titan. It's gonna be weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you have to grow into that. Name because you're right. Like, it really could.
Yeah.
Come back to haunt you.
Hello,
my name is Tite, and I was wondering when the Star Wars movie starts.
I like that name a lot.
Titan is a great name. Cool. How about Gemini?
Gemini.
Yeah. Yeah. What about naming your kid? This is stupid, but naming your child like
Twizzler?
No. No, like Daddy. You know, this is my son, Daddy.
Make your kid an experiment.
Yeah. So my son, father?
Yeah, this is my son, father.
It's like sit, stay.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
That's phenomenal. I love it.
So, Preston, if your last name is Stain, what should the first name be?
Yeah.
C-O-M-A.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. Good.
Right. Let me go to Derek. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Derek?
Pretty good.
Well, that's great. I'd ask what was going on, not how you were. It's all right, Derek.
Come on.
What's up, dude? What do you want to share with us?
What's the deal?
What's the deal?
Yeah.
I hate you.
With a girl named Tijuana.
Tijuana?
Really?
Yes, Tijuana.
That's actually bizarrely fun.
Tia could be an easy short, and I've heard the name Tia before for girls, but Tijuana?
Was her first name Tia and her middle name Juana? Mm-hmm.
No. Tijuana was her first name.
Tijuana was her first name. Her middle name was Mexico City.
Some people call Tijuana as a nickname TJ.
TJ!
Did she go by TJ at all?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Derek.
Tijuana.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
The thing about it is, she was not Puerto Rican or Latino whatsoever.
Okay.
Tijuana, yeah, that is kind of weird.
But Puerto Rican, whatever.
Nick, there is a Puerto Rican enclave in
Tijuana.
In Tijuana.
Yeah.
Lots of hookers in Tijuana.
Yeah, yeah. Little San Juan in the middle of Tijuana.
The south of France.
Let me consult the list a little bit more because there's a bunch we didn't get to. Sorin.
Sorin. Well, Sorin is a malevolent. Is it Sauron or Sorin?
S-O-R-E-N.
That's like the ride in Disney.
Sorin. That's S-O-A-R-I-N. But this is Sorin.
The Kraken.
And it is, it's a derivative of the family name Severus.
Ooh, Severus Snape.
Of course, you think of Harry Potter. Caspian.
Caspian's a cool name.
I've heard of that. Have you really?
Yes, I've heard of Caspian.
Okay. But again, like, you have to kind of grow into this person with, like, long flowing hair that's, you know, it's always like you have a fan in front of you
at all times.
Right.
I like it, though. Dries?
Nah.
D-R-I-E-S?
That's weird.
Yeah, that's a little bit odd.
Or Dries?
I don't know. Maybe it's Dries. It means strongly, manly, and brave.
How about Kaiju?
From Pacific Rim.
There you go.
Quill. I like that. Guardians of the Galaxy, Peter Quill. Miller as a first name.
Huh. Miller.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How about this? Remington.
Remington Steele.
Yeah.
Remy.
Remy.
And Remy's a good name.
Remy is also used as a female name.
Yep. And Remy is Remy LeBeau from X-Men. That's Gambit's name. Monroe.
No, there's no way.
Nope.
No, it's too close for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Monroe.
Harley. I've known a few Harleys.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn is super popular now.
I've known a couple guys named Harley.
You know, it has to be on the wane if it was ever even that popular. Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes negative
connotations will
start to have the drop-off in the popularity of names.
Not to be insensitive, but there's not a lot of kids named Adolf since 1945.
I think you may be right about that.
There is a kid who's Camden Adolf.
Right.
Shaylee is another one.
Oh, is it Shailene Woody?
No, Shaylee.
Shailene.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a friend who has a daughter named Shaylee.
That's a cute name.
Yeah, really
I like
cute.
That a lot. Clover.
Okay.
That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are different. I have to admit. Normally these just bore me, but these are interesting.
Me too. And I thought this one was kind of unique. Ember.
As in a glowing ember?
Yeah.
Well, I got a question.
That's pretty good.
So is December, does the ember have anything to do with, you know, an ember is, I assume, burning something, right? Like a burning
piece of wood? Yeah, a glowing ember. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like wood that's been... it doesn't create flame anymore, but it's still red hot and glows.
But December is the ember of a burning dies.
November.
There's November around here. I have no idea. I don't know.
That's a good question.
It is Case. Congratulations. Great question.
Is June a
an oon that you find next to a J.
Prior to the calendar that we have now, December used to be the 10th month. I actually didn't know. Yeah.
And
DEC is 10, like decade, you know, decahedron, whatever. And then ember was the month. So November, October.
31 days past November.
Burr.
But there's a lot of months that, you know, people will use that as names. April, yeah. May. Yeah.
Well, our original calendar, the one that we currently use, was devised by the native people of San Juan, Tijuana.
It was January Jones.
Hey, we just had August in here.
Yeah, August was here yesterday.
Yes.
Or,
no, her name was Autumn.
No, that was August.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we have, there's
August
a couple
Rush.
Porn stars named August.
Yeah, January Jones.
January Jones, very good. Yeah.
Frida Felcher.
Where are you going with that?
October would be a pretty cool name.
Yeah. Like Mr. October.
Yeah. Reggie.
Reggie. Must kill the queen.
So Burr is month, and then it would be December is the... I'm just trying to figure this out, Nick. You taught me something. And
I have a few names left here.
Yes.
I'm going to go to those.
Arch means month, and M is the month.
Okay, we can just get through five more.
Yeah,
I'll be done.
I don't
with
think
the
we
list.
Can. I've started to bleed now, like they did in Scanners.
Zen. I like that.
Zen
a lot.
Zen is a sense of Zen, peace.
Yes, exactly. Charlie.
Charlie.
Yep. Charlie.
Do you like Charles? Charlie.
Anymore.
Charlie is an instantly benevolent name. I think.
Yes, and
tuna.
I love it for a girl. Yeah. I think it's a great girl's name.
We have a lot of Charlies in our family.
Okay. Are they the girl names, Charlies?
Two boys and one girl.
Isn't Chuck's daughter is Charlie, right?
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Chaz, Charlie.
Right.
Freesia.
Hmm. Mr. Freesia.
Freesia. Like Rosie and Daisy, it says over the years, certain types of flowers have dominated baby names.
I think I've heard it Freesia and also Freesia.
Freesia.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a flower.
And Juniper is another one that they compare to that.
Rectum. Right.
Two more. Damn near killed them. River, as in River Phoenix.
Sure, I feel like that's old.
I would think that to me would have, every time I heard that, I would think of that as a tragic name.
Right, because of
River Phoenix.
River Phoenix. Well, Kelly Clarkson named her daughter River.
Yeah.
So that's starting to have a little bit of a resurgence. And then the last one, this is pretty cool, Madigan.
Madigan.
Yeah. I like that. You like that, Kate?
H-A-R-R-I. What was it? G-H-N spells Madigan. Hannigan? Hannigan.
I think of Andy Madigan.
Hannigan's a pretty good name.
Hannigan, yeah.
What about Mulligan?
Mulligan is a do-over, right?
Yeah, is a Mulligan a do-over?
You may name your second kid Mulligan.
Oh, my God. You know what a Mulligan is
in
golf?
Yeah.
If you get to put a second ball down and hit it.
Or if you have twins, first one's whatever, and then the second one's Mulligan.
Birdie and Mulligan.
What about Driver? Like
Driver's a kind of a cool name.
Actually, Bogey's a pretty cool name.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
Okay, well, this was from Cafe
this is
Mom.
My son, Rectum.
I thought these were kind of interesting and unique names.
Yeah.
And then, Marissa, will you post that list, please?
Normally, I would hate them. I'm not a fan of these lists after a while, but these were inventive and different names. I commend them.
Bets on whether Nick Murphy will name the next child Pixie or not.
Yeah. Strong.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good chance.
I think. New Order. That's what I'd name it.
New Order.
Yes. Bizarre Love Triangle.
Yeah. All right, then there you go, friends. Hopefully you enjoy that. We got to take a break. Let me give away some passes, movie passes.
Movie passes? All right, here we go.
Venom, we have a screening of it next Wednesday. I'll take three callers. You can go. It's UA King of Prussia, 730-215-263-WMMR, the number. We're going to break. We're going to come back. By the time we get back, I'm assuming we'll be ready for the Birthday Bucks Part 2 and a chance to win $1,000. So make sure you don't stray too far because we're coming back in just a few.
The 50th birthday party continues in 2018 as MMR presents Rock Allegiance.
Starring Papa Roach, Limp Bizkit, Skillet, Ozzy, and many more, including Philly's own Ciravo, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, to open the show.
Rock Allegiance, Saturday, October 6th, three stages at BB&T Pavilion and Wiggins Waterfront Park. Tickets on sale now via Ticketmaster.com.
MMR's 15 Seconds of Fozzy is your shot to be their roadie for a day. Tell us what makes you a good roadie, you're a huge fan, or a great guitar tech. Whatever it is, post a 15-second video of you on Twitter or Instagram making your plea and using two hashtags, WMMR Fozzy Contest and Rock Allegiance. Click contests at WMMR.com for complete details.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, it's time to get back into it because it's 8 o'clock.
Ooh.
It's 8 o'clock, and that is the time that has been set aside for you to have the opportunity to win $1,000 in cash. We do it with the birthday bucks.
MMR's birthday bucks.
Birthday bucks.
All right, so I have one word for you, and you just have a little chore ahead of you. It's very, very easy, and you could win $1,000. So here's what you need to do. This hour's keyword, heart, you need to enter via WMMR's mobile app or WMMR.com, and that is spelled H-E-A-R-T. You have until 8:15 to get that done. So once again, the hour's keyword is heart, H-E-A-R-T. Enter it now via our WMMR mobile app or WMMR.com. You'll see clearly where you need to do that when you go on there. One winner selected at random wins $1,000 in our company-wide contest. So good luck from WMMR Heart, H-E-A-R-T. A little bit later on, we're going to have Grant Shawd on the program. The revival of Murphy Brown is on tonight at 9:30. He plays Miles, the producer of the news program.
And it appears to be the basically, except for those cast members who may have passed away, but the main full cast is back and ready for action.
We'll talk to him in a little bit. And Richard Curtis from Fox 29 is coming by. There's a new classroom TV game show that starts on Monday, and it's local students and teachers face-to-face, and I think we're going to play a little bit of that.
Interesting.
By later on this morning, so he'll be stopping in. Let's do the B5.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning is brought to you by Bates Motel. This Halloween, get to the number one rated haunted hayride in America at the Bates Motel in Glen Mills. Three heart-pounding attractions, discount coupons at Dunkin' Donuts. You can buy tickets at thebatesmotel.com. Virginia is suspending a newly introduced policy that would have barred women who visit inmates at state prisons from wearing tampons or menstrual cups.
Uh-huh. I think I know why.
Virginia Secretary of Public and Homeland Security Safety Brian Moran said Tuesday on Twitter that he had ordered an immediate suspension until further review. The abrupt about-face comes a day after widespread media coverage of state prison officials plan to ban tampons starting next month as a way to prevent contraband from being smuggled into prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Moran said that he understands the worries about contraband, but added that a number of concerns have been raised about the new procedure. He said, "I feel it appropriate to immediately suspend the newly developed policy until a more thorough review of its implementation and potential consequences are considered."
Go ahead, pull that string. There's a file at the end of it.
Inmates advocates have been sharply critical of the now suspended policy, saying it violates the privacy rights of female visitors. The first man to be prosecuted under France's new catcalling law has been given a 300-euro fine for sexually assaulting a woman on a bus near Paris. The man who was not identified slapped the woman's butt and made lewd remarks about her during rush hour on the bus.
Well, if he slapped her butt, isn't that's assault, right?
Well, this is in addition to
that.
He also received a 9-month jail sentence, including a 6-month suspended sentence after a separate attack on the bus driver. Police were called after the driver jammed the bus doors closed to prevent the assailant from escaping. He smacked the butt of a 21-year-old woman during the rush hour on the bus. The man then insulted the young woman. He called her a whore and said she had big boobs.
Yeah, whore and have big boobs.
The driver wanted to help the young woman, and he was attacked. France's gender equality minister, who championed the new law, paid tribute to the bus driver. The fine marks the first time that the new law, which applies to wolf whistles and similar harassment, has been used to prosecute someone.
Interesting.
Since it was approved in July.
I slapped her aini.
France's National Assembly passed the new law banning sexual or sexist comments that are degrading, humiliating, intimidating, hostile, or offensive. So this is the first guy that's actually getting fined for it. An Oklahoma mother was at work when her son's school called, and any mother would be anxious to know what it's about and if their child was all right, but her son turned out to be just fine and wasn't in any trouble, but something did happen. The boy, named Brylan, had a dead squirrel in his backpack, which was discovered by a teacher.
Look what I found.
The mother was stunned. The teacher told her it was because the child said he wanted squirrel dumplings for dinner and then went on to ask the boy's mom if she wanted him to actually bring the dead animal home.
Oh, what did she say?
The boy's mom, Lady Hobson, wrote in a post that said, "To say I am embarrassed is an understatement. I am mortified. A dead squirrel? Why is it in his backpack? How did the squirrel die? And why in the world would he try to keep this dead animal in his backpack?" And then she then asked me, talking about the teacher, she then asked me if I actually want the squirrel to come home with him. And she says, "Y'all, I had to explain that we are from the country, but we are not that country." Okay? So...
Squirrel dumplings, man.
Squirrel dumplings.
Have you ever had squirrel?
I've never had squirrel. Never had it. Police say a man and a woman whose bike had a flat tire were attacked as they tried to walk across the Main Street Bridge in Daytona Beach, Florida. Police say 21-year-old Derek Gooden began yelling about money at Stephanie Ellis and then threw her bicycle off the bridge.
Bastard.
They say Anthony Mascaro tried to intervene, but Goodwin threw him face first into the water off the bridge 30 feet below. Gooden told an officer that Mascaro had jumped, but the officer who happened to be driving across the bridge said that he witnessed what happened and actually recorded it on camera.
It's on his body cam.
Mascaro swam to a pylon, suffering a small cut and a bloody eye. Goodwin was held without bond on aggravated battery charges and couldn't be reached for comment. Two bizarre incidents were reported by motorists in South St. Louis County. Two motorists said that their vehicles were struck by bowling balls while they were driving.
Oh, bowling balls. And thrown from an overpass?
And police said that there could be a third victim. The most recent case involved a woman who was driving home from her brother's house Friday night. Teresa Seavey was behind the wheel. She said it was a horrible experience. Photos showed the damage done to her car. Seavey said that she was driving when she spotted a man walking close to the white line towards her. She was unable to move over. The next thing she knew, he rolled a bowling ball at her car, damaging her vehicle.
Wow.
Seavey said, "At first, you don't even know something like that. Someone would think about something to do like that. It bounced along under my car, and I kept driving. It went ka-thunk, ka-thunk."
Ka-thunk, ka-thunk.
She was shaken up, but not physically injured. She thought the suspect wanted to force her to stop so he could carjack her vehicle. Instead, she drove to safety.
So he was sort of hurling it perpendicular to the car?
I don't know.
Okay.
She said he rolled it at her. At her doctor's office on Monday, CV heard a similar story from a worker about another patient. She had a patient, she had said, that early yesterday morning that told the same story, same location. A guy named Treff LaPlante remembered what had happened to him in June. He said it was pretty scary. The impact from it was very forceful. LaPlante said someone threw a bowling ball at his car, causing $6,000 in damages. Said the repair shop and the police officer thought initially it was a bowling ball. And now in hindsight, he realized that's what it was. In that case, he was driving when someone traveling south with North Carolina license plates threw a bowling ball out of their window.
It's just insane.
Smashing LaPlante's windshield. The shattered glass cut his arm. Could have killed him easily.
Yes. You just drive around with bowling balls?
Both drivers. Well, Casey used to.
Yeah. But are they like multiple bowling balls?
I had like 8, 9 of them in my car or something like that.
What the hell?
Did you have the dildos and the bowling balls in your car at the same time?
No. Okay. The dildos were in the glove box.
Okay.
Bowling balls were in the trunk. I mean, come on.
Sorry. You were a rolling mess.
Really stupid question.
What am I, an animal?
Both drivers shared their stories to alert other people to be aware of their surroundings when on the road. LaPlante filed a police report but said that he hadn't heard of any arrests, and CB said that she plans to file a police report, although she called officers on Friday night. And there you go. That's what I have in your bizarre file for now. Casey, give me some of those Dorney Park tickets to give away, because we have our Cream of the Scream stop number one at Dorney Park on Friday night. Tomorrow
night.
Yeah, let's take another five callers at 215-263-WMMR. You will be set up with tickets. We're taking 100 people into the park for this really cool experience that they have. And don't forget that not only are the haunted features available for you, mazes and scare zones and all that stuff, but the rides are open too, and the lines are usually really, really short.
To be honest, when you walk through the park, I forget what the roller coaster is right into the right, but
yeah,
it's awesome.
It's a great one. Yeah.
It's awesome.
So let's take five callers at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget that fear is waiting for you at Dorney Park. Go to dorneypark.com/haunt. For discount tickets. And I'll remind you one more time, because you got about 5 minutes left, to send over the word HEART, H-E-A-R-T, via our MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. You'll see exactly where you need to do it. 5 minutes or so, you got enough time to get somewhere where you can enter that. And then you might win $1,000 because one winner is selected random from our company-wide contest. So good luck to you. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Grant Shaw on the show and more.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
We've got a few minutes for Grant Shaw is going to be joining us, but Nick was telling us on the conference call last night that McFadden's at the ballpark is closing.
Yeah, man. I was really bummed about this news. It came out yesterday. They posted it on their Instagram account, and it's been open since the ballpark's been open, which is 2004.
Is there anything moving in there, Nick? Not, or are they just shutting the doors?
No future plans announced, Steve. So the Phils, who are in the middle of a great week, by the way.
What a week to announce
what
it.
What a week, yeah. But they cut their last road game of the season is today in Colorado, and then they're home for the weekend. So they will finish out the season at home against the Braves, and the McFadden's will be open for those three games, and then there's one more home Eagles game, and the McFadden's will be open to that. But they've lost out a lot to Xfinity Live over the years, and then more and more people are going to Xfinity Live before concerts, before sporting events, and not going to McFadden's as much, and because the Phils have been not so good over the last few years, attendance is down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, if you're going to point to a main culprit, that'd be it. But obviously Xfinity does well. But when, I think it's a rising tide sort of thing, if more people are coming in and you know.
Something's got to go in there. There's something, no way it's going to stay empty like that.
It's too big of a space. It's too, it's prime real estate. I mean, and yeah. I have a lot of memories, some of which are fuzzy, about going to McFadden's before and after games.
See, I don't. See, Marissa had a little emotional connection. I have no connection. I never really. I went to McFadden's maybe three times, period. Because I don't go to that many baseball games. And I went to a couple of charity events there. It was good. I never ate there, so I never really got a taste for the food or anything. But, yeah. I mean, if you're a regular at Phil's games, that is your place to go, to pre and post.
You know what, too? When Xfinity, at least I remember, when Xfinity opened and it would get too crowded there, like McFadden's was a good spillover point, and it still had a huge crowd there.
Yeah, and you could go if the game was terrible, if the weather was bad, if you just were bored by the baseball and wanted to go just grab a drink and watch it. And I don't remember if it was Marissa or Casey or Kathy, but somebody introduced me to Mark, who used to be the general manager there. And Mark texted me last night. He hasn't been there for a number of years, but he even though he's not working there, he was saddened by the news as well.
Well, I remember, Preston, I think it was a DRE reunion, and we had it there, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a few different charity events over the years, too, like you mentioned, Preston. But to me, it was really inextricably connected to the success of the Phils from 2007 and 2011. I had a lot of great times both in the ballpark and in McFadden's. I saw 5A, Kathy, when you were upstairs in the rain. I saw 5A at McFadden's, watched it there, and then finished with the famous "They Did It" scream at Chickie's down the street, and that was 2007.
They did it! They could hear it, though, at McFadden.
They could, yeah.
That would have been in McFadden.
Yeah.
Had the game completed that night.
10 years ago, man.
You guys know my birthday is in August, and every year we would do a Phils game. I would do a girls' day with all of my girlfriends. Cool. We would go, and, I mean, that was where we went. That was our spot. Even after Xfinity opened, we always went to McFadden's and then went into the Phillies game.
Does is it the Green Legion that uses McFadden's as a tailgate spot before home games?
Okay, for the Birds?
Yeah, I think it is.
But, there'll be nothing there for the rest of the Eagles season, which I think is odd. But I guess
that is odd.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's still empty, which is weird to me, is Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah.
That huge area. We just drove past there.
That's weird. Okay, so let's bring that up. The word we heard was that they were going to that was going to become a sort of higher end condos.
Yeah, well, somebody like it was like a developer from New York purchased it, and that was supposedly what was going in.
And it's still laying inert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember the early days of going to Finnegan's Wake? I'm like, wow, this is a really cool bar, man. And then, like, the last year or two that we did St. Patrick's Day broadcast, I'm like, this is disgusting. It smelled like piss.
Oh, when the bathrooms are dirty before it even opens. Like,
there was never toilet paper in there ever, even right at opening.
By the way,
and the stall doors were just plywood.
Yeah,
packed up on with one of those little cheap sliding latches. But I'll tell you this, some amazing freaking memories over the years.
Oh, God,
from
that place.
And listen, there are some pits out there that have a little bit of personality, and that one, it was a pit with no personality. Yeah. I mean, when we were in Clearwater, I went to that bar called Mahoffer's.
Yeah, and that looked cool.
It was, but it was like disgusting. But man, it was cool.
It was supposed to be that way.
Yeah,
bar, kitschy. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely a cool dive bar. Marissa had an interesting story about McFadden's that she told me earlier this morning. Was it the first time you were there? I think, or
it was actually the second season. So it opened up in 2004 with the ballpark. So 2005, my dad and I had actually gotten like a 10-game plan. So we were going to lots of games, and we're sitting next to just a group of girls. They're probably younger than I am now. They're probably in their late 20s. And the girl's like bouncing this infant on her lap, and they're giggling, and we're all just kind of like chit-chatting and whatever. She's like, yeah, he's a McFadden's baby. And we kind of like cocked our head to the side. Can you grab that?
Oh, they're getting it. Okay, go ahead.
And we're like, what? She's like, oh, yeah, I just had a one-night stand at McFadden's last year. And
like at McFadden's or after McFadden's?
Probably after a game.
Okay.
Like, I remember writing a piece for Philly Magazine years ago, and it said, where to meet singles in Philadelphia. Go to McFadden's after a Phillies game.
Yeah.
It was when, like, they were in the heat of being an awesome team, and you can just get laid.
Well, especially if you were a girl. The girl-to-guy ratio for a girl looking for a single dude, McFadden's was the place to go.
Yes. Mm.
Nick, where was it where you got video of somebody getting it on in a stall? Was that at McFadden's?
Well, we never revealed it on air. So I don't know if you want to or not.
I mean, at this point,
if it was McFadden's, it's okay because they're closing.
It was not McFadden's.
Okay. Then don't worry about the other place.
It was close,
but I'm sure somebody did it.
Riddle Ale House, baby.
One of the stalls at the at McFadden's. Riddle Ale House isn't around.
I know,
anymore.
Yeah.
Did you ever get it on at a bar or a restaurant? Like, actually get it on at the establishment?
Parking lot, but not. Okay. Man, that's a good question.
All full menu get it on or being gotten on?
I'm talking full menu got it on.
Okay.
I'm trying to...
You did it a Sonic one time,
personally. inside a bar? No, I don't think so.
No,
neither have I.
Maybe, but now, if you're a band and you had a dressing room, that could
that
happen.
And you were in a band.
Yeah.
The image.
That may have happened.
Dominated the music scene in the 80s.
That's a good question. I don't really know. But anyhow, so McFadden's is going to be closing up. When's the last time, Nick?
This weekend will be the last of the Phils games. And then from what I read, one more Eagles game. And then they're going to close up shop.
Eagles-Vikings a game, I assume.
I think so, yeah. It's coming up in a week or two, Case.
Do you think that will pack the place for one more time?
It's a great marketing move. Announce it now and get people in before the season ends.
Interesting. Okay.
Go have a baby.
Yeah, you could. We have a guest on the line. Last time we spoke to him was the first time we spoke to him, and he was here in our studio.
Yes, he was.
And it was really cool. He was doing a show at the Bucks County Playhouse, I think.
I believe so.
And now, back on television.
A reboot?
Yeah.
Long-awaited?
Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
We had heard rumors a while back, and we were like, ooh, how cool would that be? And sure enough, it's going to be happening tonight and every Thursday night at 9:30. You will find it after on CBS after 20 years. And let's welcome our friend. He plays Miles on the show. This is Grant Shaw.
Yeah.
Hey, Grant.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Dude, we're doing awesome. We are very, very happy for you, man.
You know, it just goes to show you, if you sit around and do nothing long enough, you fail upward.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though, Grant, is that when you were in here, we were talking about, you'd said, you know, obviously your career has gone on and you do things. You said you sort of regretted maybe leaving the series a little bit prematurely. And here you go. The universe steps in and corrects that. You have to be even a little flabbergasted at how it's turned out.
You know, I'm 100% on board with you.
Yeah.
It's like this, like it is the universe. I did absolutely nothing to make this happen.
So I got to imagine it's a bit of a reunion when you're getting back together with your old coworkers and friends. What was that first table read when you sat down? Was it a little surreal when you guys got a chance to actually start working on the show?
It was such a charged day because, you know, it was like, not only is it like first day at school, but it's like, you know, we have all this history, mm-hmm. and we walked onto the set and there are three, there are three sets that are facing the audience. One is the new newsroom, which is brand new. And then there's Murphy's townhouse and Phil's bar, and they're recreated stick by stick.
Wow.
It's like they picked them up in Los Angeles and moved them to New York, and Faith started weeping, you know, Candace had tears in her eyes. It was very, very emotionally charged.
You know, so of the sets, as I remember the original show and did watch the original show fairly religiously, I guess the behind the scenes newsroom, the office, that area was the most used set, though the bar was definitely, which, am I correct in thinking that main newsroom set was the most?
I'm sorry, it was a little garbled. I didn't catch the question.
Just of the sets that were made and that were recreated, I think the newsroom set was probably the one that was the most used, correct, in the original series?
The newsroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they've really expanded on that. You know, this is we're a fictitious now cable news network.
Right.
And it's that much more sort of now space, you know yeah. those open office spaces where everybody's working in the background, and you know what I mean, everybody's working while the show is going on. So, you know, they've updated it.
Of course, yeah.
Grant, the last time I saw you, this is Nick, by the way, the last time I saw you was at the farmer's market in Wayne, and I'm curious as to whether or not you're able to commute for this job, because you said you're filming in New York?
Nick, how? Yeah, I remember that farmer's market meeting. I'm subletting a place up here because the commute would be too much on a, you know, daily basis. So, I subletted a place up here and I stay up here, you know, while we're shooting the show, and then we get a week off every month. So I head back down to Philly then.
So what's the original order? I mean, have you done like 5, 6, 7 episodes already, or where do you stand? Is it a complete season?
We've done 6 already.
6 already.
All
right.
We've got another 7 to go.
Do you know what's funny is you're obviously, and the original Murphy Brown did it, keyed on the news of the day, but because of the shooting schedule, by the time things air in this 24-hour news cycle world, a news story is old by the time, you know, you're getting up and running. How are you guys trying to hedge the effects of that?
You know, it's crazy. They're leaving the last 3 episodes open for anything that might happen. and you know, like they literally haven't written them or broke the stories yet, because they're like, we don't know what's going to happen, and we've already shot things that could be obsolete by the time they hit the air.
Yeah,
because, you know, people could be fired.
Yeah,
people, you know, you
it's
just,
true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah,
you just don't know. Yeah.
All right. So, Grant, you know, these characters have had a chance to age and mature and change and redevelop a little bit. Where is Miles in his life right now?
Well, he's still overwrought.
Okay.
he's all work.
All work.
Okay.
He's all work, which is what he was then.
Yeah,
yes.
He was.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like about the character. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, and he's tortured. And they will continue to torture him, and he will continue to be tortured. And it's like, I thought, I didn't know what it was going to be like stepping back into it 20 years later, because the whole original premise was, you know, I was so young and in over my head. And, you know, now it's, you know, 30 years later. And I didn't know, you know, how that was going to feel, but it was like riding a bike. It really was.
You know what, though? I think your character, I think Miles would be probably emblematic of a lot of producers, of a lot of people in that position. You've got to sort of be that way. You've got to be high strung. You've got to be, that has to be that kind of skill set you need to get something that is, so minute to minute driven on the air. Have you ever heard back from other Miles working in the industry who commiserated with the character?
All the time. I didn't know the news producer was a prototype.
Yeah.
I'd like, and I'll hear it not only from other Miles's, but I'll hear it from, you know, anchors.
Really?
They're like, we have a Miles. We have a Miles. I didn't know it was such a prototype.
I was just talking to a couple of TV, anchors and reporters yesterday, and it is... It is a tightrope that they have to walk these days because everyone, social media and the internet has changed so much. Will that be reflected in Murphy Brown?
Yes. In fact, we have a new character, Pat Patel, played by Nick Dodani, who's just like unbelievable, and he's our like 24-year-old social media director.
You gotta have a social media director.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean that's changed your guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. You honestly, and we try to be the antidote to that. We stay away from, you know, supercharged political topics because it can't help but just be divisive and you're shearing off a part of your audience and pissing them off. Why, you know, we try to refrain from that. But when you're doing the news, you always wade into that fray. So it's part of the deal.
I've never been on Facebook. I've never been on Twitter. I don't even know how, and I think my life's calmer for it, certainly.
Well, you know, okay. When you see the creators of these platforms in interviews saying how they think they've ruined the world with these things, you're not missing much.
Well, you know, Nick, who was all over social media, has quit those things, and he's the first one to say. That's my advice to everybody is get off Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, solid advice.
Get off Facebook. Yeah.
How has it been with do you guys shoot in front of a live audience, Grant?
Oh, we do.
Okay, and how does that feel?
Fantastic. Yeah. And being in New York is unbelievable. Like we have this talent pool to pull from. You know, I'll show up Monday and I'll inevitably see one or two people I just know from the New York theater community, and it's like everybody has a Tony Award.
Wow.
We feel like inferior quite often.
Well,
with the guest stars we're getting,
we're massively thrilled for you. And these reboots are coming fast and furiously. It's just a wild time to be for the industry to kind of be reinventing itself with old stuff.
It is, and yet it's still it's still television and it's still cutthroat.
Yeah.
And you've got to what are your concerns/expectations as this gets presented to the public, Grant?
You know, what's great is it's like you said, you guys said about, you know, staying away from certain things.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to let go of that. You know, talk about powerless, talk about, you know, just completely out of my control. So yeah. I don't really give that too much.
Okay. No, you just do the work and let it happen. Yeah, that's
let
all you can
fall
do.
Where they may, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, cool. We're very excited for you and the entire cast, and we hope to have a visit with you when you're back in Philadelphia sometime.
I look forward to it. It's great to reconnect with you guys.
Excellent, man. All right, thank you. Grant Shaw, yay! Guys. Murphy Brown on tonight, 9:30, and that is on CBS. I really hope it hits, man. That'd be very, very
cool. Really nice guy.
I have another nice guy on the line. At least he better be nice because something special has happened. Is this Jeffrey?
This is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, how you doing, man?
I'm having a great morning, Preston. How about you?
Wonderful. You want to tell everybody why you feel so great?
Why I feel so great is I just won a cool $1,000 at the WMMR.
Yes! Oh! Another birthday Bucks winner.
That is awesome.
Right there. All right. Nice job, Jeffrey. Where are you from, man?
I'm from South Jersey, Preston.
South Jersey. And have you tried a few times, or was this your first shot at going for the birthday Bucks?
Preston, I've been playing along the entire time.
Well, we appreciate you sticking with it.
And yet,
it's paid off.
And the mechanics, you use the app on your phone, or did you go on your computer?
No, it's right on the app, right off of the phone.
Boom. It's really easy.
How easy is that? Listen, dude, we're very, very happy for you, Jeffrey. Congratulations. Anybody want to say hi to while you're on the radio?
I do. I want to say hi to my wife, Heather. I want to say hi to my son, Travis, and my newborn to come. He will be here in a month. His name is Owen.
Well, you got some money for a nursery now.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah. I got money for a nursery and a great gift for his big brother.
That's awesome. Congratulations to you, Jeffrey. Let's hear it for you guys.
Yeah.
Nice job. I thought he was going to say, once he said hello to his wife, and I'm bringing that $500 home, honey.
Yeah.
$200.
That $200.
Yeah.
Nice pair of earrings
I'll
for you.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you half of it. You can have $100.
There you go.
What's that commercial where they're driving along and everyone in the car is listening on their headsets and so on and so forth, they're not, and the dad's trying to talk to them and they're not?
Yeah.
And he goes, it's okay. They don't need to know that I just got money back from Allstate. Yeah. And he goes,
bought a new putter. Right, honey?
Huh? Huh?
She nods.
That's right.
That is a good spot. We have a couple of minutes to play with here, Case. I know we've got a guest coming up in a little while. Or no.
Well, yeah, a couple.
Yeah, a couple. That's officially it. Then I got a couple of things that I can show or bring to you.
Show to you. Or bro to you.
It's show and tell. Yeah. Preston's show and tell.
Oh, show and tell. Oh, man, I need a new theme song.
No. I did see something. Diamonds.
Love diamonds.
There she is. I knew it. I knew I'd get her.
Diamonds.
Do you like diamonds that have a hue to them, like blue diamonds or yellow, you know, canary diamonds and stuff like that? Or do you just prefer the white?
No, I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like the yellow because I, you know, because when you, years ago, when you bought a diamond, like you did not want the yellow tint.
It looked stained. It was an inferior diamond,
yeah,
was it not?
Like, and now all of a sudden it's, you know, it now okay. It's the thing and it's more expensive and all that.
It's like black diamonds were, yeah they were.
Oh, that's right.
And they became a thing.
Well, Kath, you may want to let Dennis know that there's a pink one that's up for grabs and it's only going to run about $50 million.
Oh, shit.
Next month in Geneva.
Jesus.
It's the 18.95 carat fancy vivid pink stone. It's a rectangular cut and is called the Pink Legacy.
Was it recently mined?
No.
Okay.
It's moved around a little bit.
Okay, it's a historical diamond.
Yeah, Christie's is going to put it up for auction on November 13th at its Magnificent Jewels sale in Geneva with an estimated sale price of $30 to $50 million. Apparently, fancy, vivid pink diamonds are extremely rare, especially those...
They're all pink on the inside.
Especially those more than a carat or two. Only four over 10 carats in size have ever come up for auction in 250 years. The Pink Legacy also has a type... I guess this is 11A classification or IIA classification.
Oh, it's probably II.
That's okay. Like a clarity, right?
Imperfections, is that what
yeah,
I
there, there are four C's when it comes to the diamond. Or yeah. Remember that?
Cut, clarity, cologne, and Columbia.
And cauliflower.
Yeah.
It's carrot, cut, and clarity, I think.
And color.
There's one
and
more. Color, color, yeah.
All right, so... It is among the most chemically pure diamonds available.
No, it's clarity, cut, and cully, Preston.
Cully. That was it. So
cully.
Apparently this is, it has its history traced to the Oppenheimer family.
Ooh, the Oppenheimer family.
And that adds to its worth as well. People who have owned it can actually make it more valuable.
It's true. I happen to like the classic clear, non-color, sparkling diamond. It's just a thing of beauty. However, you're right. And I always tend to think that diamonds that have been owned by other people, you know, there is always the story of the proverbial curse or the bad luck or, you know, that sort of deal.
Steve, you always get a white diamond in your grill when you get a new
Absolutely,
one.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. I like it, man. That's why I had that tooth come out of it. I was going to put it in my grill.
My brother's wife lost her diamond. She accidentally had her engagement diamond ring in a solution, and then accidentally that solution ended up in the garbage disposal.
Oh.
And here's the crazy thing. They knew that they had lost it in there. It had been in there for a little while. They couldn't find it, so I guess they thought they lost it.
The garbage disposal?
Yeah.
So in the sink?
In the sink, in the garbage disposal.
When they turned it on, did they hear...
I don't know exactly how it went, but it was... They thought it was gone.
Okay.
She started the garbage disposal, and the diamond popped.
It shot up out of there?
Uh-huh.
Still on the ring?
No.
Just the diamond?
Just the diamond.
Wow.
That's beyond insane.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah, yeah.
And did it damage the diamond at all?
No,
No, so now they need to reset it and stuff. But yeah,
that's
you know, that's the
universe wanted that her to have that diamond back.
Well, you know, my brother had lost his wedding ring at an Eagles tailgate. We always tailgate at FDR, and it just went missing. I don't know exactly how it went missing. It was gone for months, and then the people that we tailgated with, one of the girls just looked down. Months later, Steve, I'm talking like 4 or 5 months later, looked down, found his ring.
It's crazy.
In the grass at where we tailgate.
I had a friend. Okay. So, and I'm not going to say who this is.
Okay.
We all know who it is.
You know who it is. So anyhow, this friend had, but this is a different lost wedding ring story.
Same guy?
Same guy. And so he was working in his yard. He was pouring some concrete. Apparently it fell into the concrete.
Oh, God.
Okay, so now this person had gotten busted in the past messing around.
Yes, and this is why this is such a volatile thing.
So when he had to confess that he lost the ring, his wife said something, and I still throw this at him from time to time. She said, oh, yeah? Is it in your whore?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
man.
Wow. Oh, yes. Wow. Yes.
That is a great line.
So if he loses something, I always say, did you check in your whore?
Is it in your whore? Oh,
she won that round.
Yes, yeah, she did.
Yes, she did.
I think I might say that when I see it. No, so my mom recently lost the diamond to her engagement ring.
That's when the whores come in.
That she's had for 40 years.
40 years.
Say this again.
My mom recently lost in the end of July. She lost the diamond in her ring. And she had the same thing. She had lost it once before. Yeah. It fell out of the setting. And my cousin found it on the floor like a few days later. But this one, she went away on vacation and she checked. We asked the owner of the house to check the house.
Oh.
She checked.
But it could have been anywhere.
Yeah,
fallen off during the day somewhere walking around.
Could be in her boy toy.
Well, she was hoping it was in her luggage, like as she was packing, because she realized on the way there that she had that she lost it, and she thought maybe it came out of the suitcase when she got to the house.
How bad did that upset her?
You know what? I think she was upset. She didn't really show it, but I could tell that she was upset, and she said, "Well, I had a nice run with it because
it's okay." She was mad enough to push you down off a ladder.
Well, you know what? You know what was so sad about it is that that was the nicest piece of jewelry that she had. Like my mom's not a jewelry person,
it was
a beautiful diamond ring. You know, the diamond was like almost flawless. It was back in the day when they had money and my dad could afford it, and so now she really has, you know, no big pieces of jewelry.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's probably a diamond sitting in the grass somewhere in front of the Berman Museum of Art on the campus of Versinus College, because my mom lost an earring there, and she had never had her ears pierced. She got her ears pierced because my dad, for an anniversary, got her a pair of diamond earrings, and she lost an earring like a week later.
She must have freaked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were out there with a metal detector, and you know, they never found it. So it's probably just sitting there if anybody wants to go out there with a metal detector.
I need to go to Kate and hear this story. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Kate. So do tell us this, please.
Okay, so my husband was the best man in his cousin's wedding. They were at the hotel getting ready to leave in the elevator. So it's my husband, the best man, and the groom. And on the way to the venue, he opens up the box holding the ring, and the bride's wedding ring pops out of the box, bounces in the elevator, and goes down the elevator shaft.
No.
Oh, my God.
On the way to the wedding.
They were in the elevator. Were the doors open? And it
had to have been open.
Yeah, right?
It must have been just as they were either walking in or out, right?
Yeah, they had walked into the elevator, ready to go down to the lobby to get into the limo to go to the wedding. And that's when it fell down.
God. Uh-huh. Oh, dear God. I assume they gave it a shot to find it, right?
They did. They went into the, you know, to the bottom layer.
Yeah.
And went looking through it. He said that there was like a foot of dust just at the bottom of this elevator shaft. And he said that they had a couple guys trying to look for it. The elevator next to it was flying up and down the entire time. They're all trying to look for this.
Yeah.
And eventually, right then, when they were about to give up, somebody found it.
Oh my God. It's miraculous.
Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah, down the elevator shaft.
All right, thanks. So is your has your mom gotten a new diamond, Kathy?
No, she hasn't. No, yeah. I don't think. She has like a smaller ring, has little diamonds in it as a wedding band, so she'll wear that. But no, she hasn't gotten an engagement ring.
Okay. Well, this one's up for grabs.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe they can do that.
Yeah, maybe your dad can.
It's the pink diamond known as the pink legacy.
I'll send the link.
By the way, the famed South African diamond dynasty controlled, this is the Oppenheimer family, much of the world's trade over three generations. Nikki Oppenheimer sold the family's 40% stake in diamond mining company De Beers Group for $5.1 billion.
It's crazy.
To Anglo American in 2011 after taking De Beers private in 2001. The Pink Legacy won't be the most expensive stone ever sold. That honor is still held by the Pink Star, a 59.6 carat fancy vivid pink diamond that sold in Hong Kong by Sotheby's last year for $71.2 million. Almost three quarters of $1 billion for
just
one
crazy
one bobble.
Yeah. Astonishing.
Is De Beers out of what, Norway or
No. The Netherlands, I believe.
Netherlands, is that what okay. I don't know if it's the De Beers family, or but there's a huge diamond family in Europe, and my wife's bloodline goes to that family.
Is that right?
And the thing is, the legend, as I had heard it, was that the person that brought the bloodline over to the United States left the family for love. And left it all behind. Came over
did
to
it for love.
Did it for love. Yeah, exactly.
Love you. So there's no. Does she have any lineage to this? To a potential will here or there?
No. All no. Right. Not even a little bit.
Damn it.
Yeah.
By the way,
way to go.
The second most expensive diamond ever sold is the Oppenheimer Blue Diamond, which had also been in the Oppenheimer family. It sold for $57.2 million in 2016. If the legacy, if the pink legacy fetches $50 million, it would become the third most expensive ever auction.
I don't know how you can buy these things unless you have like a second job or something.
Yeah, maybe right? To cover a little bit.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Maybe like Uber?
I've seen the Hope Diamond at the Smithsonian.
No, listen. The problem with the Hope Diamond at the Smithsonian is that usually you're at the sixth or seventh hour of museum going. It was that way with me. I'd seen just monumental stuff everywhere you look. Hey, it's Hope Diamond. Great, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. But that comes with it, a curse and
oh,
all
yes.
these other things.
There is a long history of curses and bad luck that has befallen the owners of the Hope Diamond.
And I thought I read something that if they point a laser at it or something like that, that it continues to glow after a while or something. It's got
because the devil lives in it.
Well, it's got some kind of unique property to it. But when we're going to London.
Yes.
Have you guys seen the crown jewels?
Yes, I have.
Is that worth seeing?
Oh,
it
my
is.
God,
yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Why
is
that?
Well, they're fascinating. I mean, if you're into that stuff at all, there's a lot
it's
of history.
The Tower of London, right?
It's
in
is.
The Tower,
yeah. Yeah, there's a museum in the Tower of London that you can go and tour, and I was there 4 or 5 years ago, and so the history attached to it is really fascinating, but the jewels themselves are really beautiful, and so, but there's like, Steve, there's like a scepter that a king carried, and a crown, like
you're looking
crowns.
At all of this, chunks of history, and then in the back, when I was there, they had a big photograph, like wall-sized photograph of the queen during her, during
coronation.
Her coronation, yeah,
right? And she's wearing the, and it's, when you look at it, you're like, well, that's got to be fake. You know, there's no way that that diamond is that big or that crown is that real. But it's actual jewels and actual gold on an actual crown that somebody wore.
Okay.
And it's so right next to the churro stand.
Oh,
right.
Good.
Yeah. Those are delicious. They heat them up.
They do.
Yeah.
Love those.
Royal churros.
Maybe that's – I've somebody sent me some suggestions of things to do of like must-sees, and that was on the list.
The eye is also one of them, the large Ferris wheel.
Yeah. And I heard the Churchill Museum is really cool. It's a bunker that he worked in during World War II. And
your bunker.
And it's you can go tour it still today.
Okay.
It's a bunker over here.
We will be there before you know it. We'll be there.
The
wow. One month from now, we will be there, gang. So
I shall be in the Archie bunker.
And I think we're 2 months away from the Camp Out for Hunger.
If you are betting on us to die, I would definitely place your bets at the end or middle of December.
All right. Anyhow, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. I think we're going to play a little game when we get back.
All right.
Because we have a Richard Curtis who's going to be here. He is from Fox 29. He's also a teacher, teaches at my son's high school. But We've had him on the program several times, but he has a new game show. It's starting on Monday, and it's for students and teachers. It looks pretty cool, and he might try it out on us a little bit.
Is it? Well, we'll find out if it's physical, trivia, whatever it is.
Yeah, we'll be back in just a moment. Richard's going to be in here with some students to take us on, by the way, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love and ready to get engaged? Visit Steven Singer Jewelers. Whether your budget is $500 or $5,000, Steven's Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection has your perfect ring at the perfect price. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Well, our next guest in the studio has been here before, and he was a huge hit nationally on Live with Kelly when he won the competition to be a co-host.
Yeah.
And now he works locally at Fox 29 and teacher at Souderton High School, Souderton Area High School.
How does he do it?
My kids go to school there. Please welcome Mr. Richard Curtis.
Yay! Now that was an intro. I'm trying to do my best.
How you doing, man?
I could not be better. Honestly, I'm kind of riding this wave of awesomeness right now. Don't get me off it, anybody.
Yeah. Yes. No. I mean, listen. You had the Kelly Ripa thing, and Ryan Seacrest took that. But then you're Fox 29. I see you doing all these features and everything, and now you have your own show.
Well, like it was kind of like you get broken up with by your girlfriend. Yeah, she never calls you again. You're like, oh.
Yes.
But then you find a more attractive
guy. Right. And one that's closer to your home.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You know, the national thing, like, that's one thing. But to say, you know what, I'm starting and making this right here in Philadelphia, now that's saying something.
There
that's
you go.
Cool, man. Nice. Hey, I saw a post that you had on Instagram the other day with Ginger Z hanging out with her. My girlfriend.
I saw that you commented. You're like, man, how did you do that?
Yeah. What was that?
You know what? I like to do a ton of charity stuff with hosting and stuff. This was for the Penn Foundation's Autumn Gala. And she came down and was talking about the mental health stuff. But talk about just an absolute awesome individual. She was so nice. And what makes her even cooler, guys, is that she's beautiful, number one, but she's a down-to-earth, beautiful person. So that makes it...
That's your history, though. Kelly Ripa, same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ryan Seacrest, beautiful, but down-to-earth woman.
Listen, the reason that Richard is here is because Monday on Fox 29 begins this game show. Tell us about it. It's called The Clash Room.
Oh, man, my heart just jumped a beat with you just saying this. I cannot believe it starts Monday.
Yeah.
It's three teachers, three students from all over the tri-state area here. I mean, we have schools from Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delco. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're local, you're within shouting distance of Philadelphia, you're coming on the show. Basically, here it is in a nutshell. Students get to try to prove that they're smarter than their teachers, right?
Yeah,
enough said. Like, give me a break.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. We do, at the end of the school year, Preston wanted to do this thing where we do the coolest teacher. And the amount of passion at the schools when we announce that the school is up for grabs and they vote for their favorite teacher is crazy. So you're going to get a lot of activity. How many episodes are you shooting on a daily basis? How many episodes have you shot?
So being a high school teacher, when Fox brought this over, they're like, Richard, we got this great TV show. I was like, guys, like, I truly do love being a teacher. It's going to be tough to get me out of here. And they said, better yet, how do you like to work Saturdays?
Well, yeah, you go.
I love that.
Yes. Yeah.
So we tape six episodes every Saturday, bank the episodes. They're going to air starting at noon, Monday through Friday. Every day of the week, people can tune in. If you're not into, you're tired of the talk shows, you're tired of the news, here's something different for you. Change it up, mix it up. So.
That's awesome.
Let's be honest, in this era of TV and movies, there's a lot of, let's just bring back this. Or let's, this movie was good in 1980. Let's do 1980. Return of the iPad edition. This gives it's so unique. It's so different.
And I think the audience is going to love it because there's a lot of local high school pride in the area.
That's
people are going to want to see their high school.
Absolutely.
Featured.
It's a can't miss. Now, it's on what, at noon?
Yeah, it's on at noon. Yep.
All right. So Monday through Friday at noon. And then maybe, who knows, if it takes off, it could get bumped later on because the kids who are in it are going to have to DVR it.
That's the whole thing, right? Yeah. And we're going to, right now, I'm saying it, brick by brick, this show is making it because it's just so fun.
Yeah.
You tune in. I mean, I love, I know because I'm in the classroom,
yeah.
But the camaraderie that students have with teachers is just incredible.
Lest we forget, by the way, Alex Trebek started doing a school competition show, like an early form of Jeopardy. So it was school based kids.
And I gotta speak to Richard because I see him at school events. So we go to these, you know, the football games and all kinds of things.
We do high five a lot.
We do. Yeah. And I see him at these things. And one time we went for they do their version of the fun, you know, it's an all night party. Yeah. It's a fundraiser. And I go into the lunchroom and I see this crowd of kids all in a big circle and they're, you know, their hands are up in the air, this and that. And the circle splits up. Who's in the middle? It was Rich. He was making them all do this.
Really?
Stuff.
Man, it's no joke. Listen, I just, that's the whole thing is I love to work with kids. And they for them to bring me this show and say, hey, we got this wheelhouse. We want you to just get in there and swing the bat. This thing's a home run every time. So I couldn't be in a better spot.
Oh, no, it's awesome. And you're perfectly suited for it. So explain how the show is executed. What is the mechanism?
Yeah, so basically they're in there in front of a live studio audience, 60 to 80 people of just ravenous fans, mascots, foam fingers, the whole nine yards. Okay. Everyone's dressed in their spirit gear and ready to rock. And it's basically question first. We start with some pop quiz, which, by the way, we're going to get into in a second.
Yeah, we're going to play
it. It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Then we have an ability where you can send your teacher to detention. You get some answers right. That's really fun. It's kind of like, you know, how you tune into The Price is Right. It's always different games.
Yes.
Same idea. Floating games. You never know what you're going to get when you tune in. Okay. And the teachers and students don't know what they're going to get. So
keeps it fresh.
Absolutely. So, you know, and it's cool because different style questions. There's, you know, it's like Jeopardy, but for regular people.
Now, if the students lose, are they fully kicked out of school?
Yeah, so they're not even allowed to come back.
They're not allowed to come back. That's it, yeah.
Could you imagine the teacher lounge after you lose this event to your students?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, goodness, I'm not even getting coffee today.
In fact, I wonder if you have to work extra hard to get the teachers to play along. Because there's more on the line for the teachers than there are.
Right. I mean, you know, theoretically, you think teachers are adults. Like, you have a 401k. Like, come on, you should beat the students.
Right.
But it's not like that. These students are brilliant. I don't know where they come from.
And in competition, when you're there in front of cameras and there's an audience and so on and so forth, you get nervous.
You absolutely do. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Some of the teachers absolutely just don't push the button at all. You're like, are you alive?
So there's got to be something for winning. What happens? What do you get?
The bottom line is no matter what happens, students, teachers, whoever wins, the school's banking $500. Okay. You guys know if you're like, what? Like, that's not a million. That's a good observation.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, for a school, these clubs, these activities, you know, whether it's Paper Mache Club or...
which is a great club, by the way.
Paper Mache club,
is
right?
Just wonderful.
Things that aren't heavily supported. They can come in here, they can play for it. $500 is ridiculous.
Yes.
You get that kind of cash, you're like, what are we going to do now in Paper Mache Club?
Right.
A lot more swans.
Which, by the way, Souderton, I must admit, when my kids started going to school there, and I assume that a lot of schools are indicative of this in this day and age, there's over 50 clubs, aren't there?
The hell?
It's ridiculous. There's like anime manga club.
Yeah.
It's called Sit Outside Club, but I think they just want to get out of school.
Yeah, Sit Outside Club? That's great,
I'm Casey, the president of that one.
Jumper's Club,
does not even attend school club go? Is that a good one?
No, I've got my kids are involved in several of them. It's
really?
Great. It's after school stuff. Yeah, there's
Paper Mache.
There's Gamers Club, Anime Club that Parker does. Yeah. And then I think Carter was doing chess. And there's, you know, there's all kinds of different.
They never had that. They had the same crappy clubs when I was.
You had the boosters.
In school, I had the boosters.
Right.
Yeah. Like Marcia.
Like Marcia.
Yeah, there was like six. I signed up to every. I wanted to be the most popular girl.
So I can understand that. Real quick, before we get started on this, because we're going to meet the contestants that are here, but I do have a caller that wanted to say something to you.
Cool.
This is Superintendent. It's Frank Gallagher.
Oh, my God.
Of the Souderton School District. Frank, you wanted to say something?
Hey, Press. Thanks for having me on. But, hey, buddy, Rich, good job today on representing your show, and good luck on Monday. And, Press, I just want to say that Richard represents the best of Souderton, but all my teachers are just like him. They have the passion that he has, as you know, as a parent.
Yep.
And I'm just so proud of this guy and what he's done for our
Man. Hey, honestly, that means a lot for you to call this morning. It really does. And for this was yesterday, you sent me a text and you said, Richard, you want to come on the show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Blown away. I literally went to my principal and I was like, hey, am I allowed to go? I'll bring a bunch of students with me, like these guys back here. And the leadership over there, and this speaks for so many teachers and administrators around the area, they understand what it's like to get these kids out of the building and into some things where they could say, all right, is this my future? Maybe I do love this.
They're engaged.
But this guy right here that's on the phone is numero uno as far as support. So, and thank you for that raise you're giving me at the end of the year. Yeah.
Well, you heard Frankie called in to say there's nothing unique about you.
He did just call me vanilla, didn't he?
He said everyone is exactly like Richard.
No. And that's fair, but like any time when I was in high school, any type of field trip was offered up, I would jump at the opportunity
to get out of the classroom.
You're not kidding. Frank, thanks. We got to get to this game, okay?
Okay, have fun.
Come on, Frank. Right, we'll get back to work over there, would you?
Frank, by the way, when school is called off, he's the voicemail you get. It's his voice.
Oh,
yeah.
He's the king. Frank Gallagher.
Superintendent Frank Gallagher. Yes. Classes will be canceled today. Students wishing to participate in our evening papier-mâché event.
All right, well, listen, in the interest of time, we got to get this
underway.
Let's
do this. Yeah.
Okay, yes,
let's
do it. All right, so let's, we're going to play, this is not the theme of the show.
This is our theme.
This is our theme of the theme, which, no, we're not allowed to play it, I've been told.
Okay. It could be. That was awesome, though.
The Clash Room, which you'll be able to see on Fox 29 starting on Monday. Now, we're going to, instead of teachers versus students, it's Preston and Steve Morning Show members versus students.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. I already told you.
I brought some rock stars, guys. I brought some rock stars.
Three kids
from my class who signed up first, but combined, their GPA, I think, is an average 3.25.
3.25.
Hey, if you Richard, what does GPA stand for?
Yeah, you're going to do well today, Steve. You're going to do well.
All right, let's meet our contestants. Let's first find out, what is your name?
Charlton.
All right, Charlton, that's a cool name.
Yeah. It is a great name, isn't it? What year are you in high school?
Sophomore.
A sophomore. And is broadcasting, journalism, anything like that, something you're interested in?
Definitely filmmaking.
Okay. Filmmaking.
Very cool. By the way, their program, their studio is phenomenal.
I've heard it's great.
And we have your name, please.
Elise.
This is Elise. And Elise, what year are you?
I'm a senior, actually.
You're a senior. Wow, congratulations. Thank one more year to go. What do you want to do once you graduate?
I'm into broadcast journalism, yeah.
There you go.
Great to hear it. And then last but not least, we have...
I'm Caroline, and I'm a senior.
And you're a senior as well. And what's your... Is journalism, television?
Yeah, I want to go into filmmaking.
Okay.
Wow, really good.
Nice.
That's excellent. Okay, so we're going to play the game. And Richard, you want to tell us how this works, please?
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. We're going to get through as... Okay, Steve.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. You nailed it so far. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. You're going to get through as many questions as we can. Each correct answer is going to bank you 10 points. Now, Preston, Steve, and the rest of the squad over here, there's no cheating. I see a lot of computers in front of you and the Google machine.
No, this is pornography.
Sure. Okay. Good.
It's going to be me and Steve and Casey.
Awesome. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask these questions. If you get it right, you bank 10. If you get it wrong, the other team has a chance to steal. You guys all have buzzers, so make sure you hold them up to the mic if you feel like you have it right.
See, I don't do well under pressure, by the way, so this is where I'm going to collapse, right here.
All right. Okay. Well, here's what I need, like a really sexy backtrack, Casey. You got something
sexy
for me?
Sexy backtrack?
Like, no, like, you know, something that's game showy.
Yeah, we'll
I should not say
something...
sexy on backtrack. Oh, that is nice.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
What is the name of the official currency of Japan?
Preston got it first.
Preston.
It's the yen.
That's right. 10 points for Preston. What is 56 divided by 7?
That was Steve.
Steve?
8.
That is right. That's 20 points for that team. What American war began in 1861?
Steve.
No.
Steve.
That was Preston. That was
me. We both had bells. Who the hell came up with this idea?
The American Civil War.
Good. What is the name of Andy's cowboy in the movie Toy Story?
Casey.
Woody.
Woody's right. What American football position shares its name with a way to score 2 points?
Safety.
Safety is right. Hey, students, by the way, we're playing a game right
now.
Just wanted to give you guys a heads up that the game is actually going. We got 10 seconds left.
Right.
What is the smallest bone in the body? Here we go, Caroline.
It's the ear.
It's the ear is right. Nice. Hey, you guys are back in the game.
Yes.
What is the explosion of a star called?
Oh,
we got Charlton.
A black hole?
No. For the steal, Preston?
A supernova.
Supernova is correct.
Wow!
Now listen, I did say the combined GPA was a 2.56, right?
No, you know what though? Here's the deal, and I can understand. They're looking at the epitome of professional broadcasters over here, and they're so dazzled by our shorts and T-shirts.
Yeah. Blankets.
You do look good in your Gibson t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so listen, here's the deal. It's 40 points right now for Preston, Casey, and Steve.
All right.
To 10 for the students. So it's still anybody's game as we move into the spell check round.
Ooh, where it's going to fall apart.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to call your name. I'm going to ask you a question on, you just spell it right, you're in the game. If you don't spell it correctly, you are out. Now, just remember, you can't take your time here. You have 7 seconds to spell it correctly.
Ooh. All right.
By the way, how's my sweet and savory game show host voice?
It's very nice.
Okay, good.
All
right. By the way, I don't use that voice when we
play. So, Richard, you will ask each one of us individually?
Yep, here we go. So we're going to start with Steve.
Yes.
Your first word is precocious.
Precocious. P-R-E-C-O-C-I-O-U-S.
Nailed it. Here we go. Your next word, Caroline. Unconscious.
U-N-C-I forgot.
Okay. You are out of the game. Oh. Casey, your next game. Your next word is liaison.
Oh, L-I-A-S-O-N.
You missed the I in there. Casey, you're out of there. Here we go. Elise Siamese.
S-I-A-M-E-S-E.
You're still in. Nicely done. Preston, acquire.
A-Q-U-I-R-E.
A-C-Q-U-I-R-E. Yeah! And just like that, the students win spell check. Yeah. How hard is it when you don't have your phone correcting you for you?
Oh, my God.
Do you know what? Because people besmirch the phone and the autos, but that can actually help you learn to spell.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, you're not kidding. So during gameplay, guys, it's hilarious because with that timer, teachers just crumble.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean.
And it is. And it's the same thing, too. So we speak professionally, so quasi-professionally on the air every morning. But when people call in, you get... Okay, I'm going to talk to Preston and Steve. We've known them for all these years. Listen, the second you're on air, it's like...
Yeah. Oh, you just... So we had a teacher start with, like, the number 7 in the word when. We're like, the 7?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are you out of your mind, lady?
Yeah. How do you spell liaison?
Liaison is spelled I-L-I-A-I-S-O-N.
Damn it.
And on the actual game, you see that on the screen. So.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be nice enough. And it's fun to play at home, so just tune in, 12 o'clock noon, Fox 29. Listen, a Philly guy... got his own show. Let's help him keep it now.
No, absolutely. And here's what we want. And I think this is the perfect scenario. It does well enough that it moves. I think it should be on. So it's going to do well at noon. It's going to DVR. But what they need to do is move it in later on in the schedule so that when kids come home, they can watch it. And then you have much more of an enthusiastic deal going on. I can think of some shows that could be shifted around. That's just my own personal take. But we'll see. Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Real quick, I want to go to this phone call. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, this is the Red Alert class. We're just checking in with
that. That's his class? Oh,
what's going on? Is anyone at this school working? This is my actual class. Who are we talking to?
You're talking to Dez and Aiden.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
All
right, so everybody wanted to say hi?
You guys rock, man.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let me ask you, right now as you're going through Richard's briefcase, what are you finding?
Don't answer that.
Hey, could we get an old school good morning, Mr. Curtis? Oh, they're not.
Okay, guess not. Okay. Guess not. Now look, no, they wait for my command. Hey guys, say good morning.
Just say good morning.
Yeah,
everybody
ready?
Okay.
Listen, it is so hard to be cool in high school. You guys have no idea
what
it's like.
What is the combined GPA of that kid?
You guys have a show tomorrow at 10:36. You're supposed to go live, and I know none of you are working towards that right now. We still have the show, so you guys better get back to work.
Yes.
All right, then we'll send them on their way. Thank you guys for calling in. We do appreciate that. By the way, I do want to give a quick plug because the wonderful staff at Souderton Area High School had asked me to try to help them out. They have this great facility for people who are interested in the media, you know, all things involved in media, whether it be, you know, print or broadcast or whatever. And they've got these studios that are top notch and they want to make them even better. They're looking to improve these studios. It's already a great facility, but they want to step up with the technology and they need sponsors for that. And so they're looking for, you know, businesses that want to step forward and maybe for some namesakes and so on. You can contact Souderton Area High School and let them know.
Nothing says cool like Steve's Computer Lab.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you this, though. Think about it. If I had had, I didn't have stuff like that to that level.
Yeah.
It would have helped accelerate everything. Now, everything worked out okay in the end.
Yeah.
But you think of people who potentially, you know, can catch the bug. You guys here, all, you know, directors and media and journalism. The fact that you're able to get a hands-on thing makes a vast difference and can help propel you that much further in your career.
And that's all the schools in this area, man. I really think it's underappreciated how much teachers put time in and how much administrators do just to be, you know, that shining star for the students. It's incredible how much
backing we have around here.
There's like daily news shows, Steve. I went in and they had
my school sucked.
They had they had
you were homeschooled.
The, yes. All the assignments for it, you know, like somebody was working on a documentary about something at the school, whether it's in the lunchroom or whatever it may be, or somebody's doing a feature later on about you know finals. But there's always some kind of project going on that they're working on to present in yeah. like a news format. It's so cool.
I really wish
I would have.
Hey,
had
you
that.
Want to talk about cool? Your son showed me how to. Flip that rifle around in the hallway the other day. I mean, dude, he was firing this thing up in the air 25 feet, and I'm like, dude, can you just show me how to do one flip? Yeah. He's like, man, you can't do one flip.
Yeah.
He was right.
Why don't you go host your show?
That's yeah. Stick to TV, pal.
Nice. All right, well, listen, Monday is when it starts, Fox 29, noon, and looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, so yeah. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, guys, for having me on this.
We will watch. We'll be watching you guys.
Thank you to the students
thank
as
you.
Well.
Yeah. Thank you.
We got to take a break. We'll come back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us, because we've got some stuff to give away and things to do before we wrap it up for the day.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1971, the year MMR turned 3. It was the year Walt Disney World opened in Florida.
Hey, everybody!
And the first microprocessor was introduced. At the movies, we saw Clockwork Orange, Dirty Harry, and... At MMR, the DJs had new music from these bands, The Who, Led Zeppelin, The Rolling Stones, The Doors, David Bowie, yes, Pink Floyd, Deep Purple, John Lennon, Traffic, Van Morrison, CSNY, Cat Stevens, and so many more from 1971. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Thompson Lexus in Doylestown. Find them at ThompsonLexusDoylestown.com.
93.3 WMMR, everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
Steve, I like the tweet that you had of Nick. It just says, Nick points at the sunlight.
I figured why go past just what it was. Cut right to the chase.
That's great.
But it was such a moment.
Yesterday's show, I told you guys this off air, but I got to mention this. But I went back and I listened to the podcast from yesterday with the Rocky doing the knock-knock joke thing. Why that made me laugh so hard, I don't know, but I couldn't stop. And Rochelle thought I was just a moron.
That's what we do.
I kept listening to it. And in fact, I was telling Kathy, we do a Wednesday night yoga thing.
Yes.
And at the end of yoga, there's this thing called Shavasana.
Right.
And it's a...
There's the Shlemiel and then the Shavasana.
Then the Shavasana. No, Shavasana. And it's a moment of meditation. You just take at the end of the workout, you just basically take time for you and you center and you just take it nice and easy. It's awesome. It's great. So I'm lying there and I'm being contemplative and I'm thinking serene thoughts and I just, you try to focus on something and something in my mind said, well, think of something rather than serene, think of something happy.
Yeah.
And then the word happy turned to funny. And then the word funny led me to think about the Rocky thing. And, it's a quiet time.
Right.
It's meditation.
And you're laughing.
I started laughing my ass off.
You and ruined it, right?
I killed it. Yeah. I broke it. And they're like, all right, what are you laughing at? And I tell them.
They're not going to.
They had no idea what I was talking about. Steve was Rocky. And he said, knock, knock. Who's there? Orange. Orange who? Banana. And I look at him and it's just crickets. And I'm like, what are you talking
Never
about?
Mind. Yeah. Never mind.
Do your Shazbot and shut up.
Yeah, exactly. But the podcast, I rewound it like 5 times. Oh my God.
Well, there were a few people who, I guess it's been labeled now the Soviet comic. Soviet.
Banana.
And
I love it.
The whole stand-up back. So he'll be making a return at some point.
Excellent. All right. You go knock, knock. Who's there? They killed my wife. if you think about it.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah,
because she's lagging.
All right, I got some B-file stories, and let's get them to you.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Feeling lucky? Grab a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends on October 15th. Or while supplies last. For game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. A kangaroo is on the loose in Florida. The 5-year-old kangaroo named Storm escaped from a Jupiter Farms-based animal sanctuary early Tuesday morning. Officials at Bush Wildlife Sanctuary were still searching
for the missing Rue.
Missing all Rue.
Working with Storm's owner, several residents took video and photos of Storm hopping along the road and posted them to Facebook and Twitter. Exotic animal escapes are rare, but they do occur. In 2004, Bucky the Wallaroo and Poncho the Goat, listen to this, owned by Vanilla Ice.
What?
Escaped from the rapper's home in Port St. Lucie.
They're celebrities.
Yeah, Robert Van Winkle, Vanilla Ice. After wandering around local streets for more than a week, the animals were caught and returned, and Van Winkle paid a $220 fine for expired pet tags and an undisclosed fine for the escape of the animal.
I remember years ago, one of the first places to have like that sort of stuff going down in Florida was a place called Lion Country Safari. And it's the sign outside just simply said trespassers will be eaten.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was famous for that. But yep. Now I guess there's a lot of these places down there.
And you just had a story like this in Austria last week too, right? It was an escape. Yeah. And they were making fun of it. It was Austria, not Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, little precursor here for you. I have another Rue story for you, but I'll get
all
to
the
it.
Ruse.
I'll get to. I'm saving
it's
it for
crazy.
Tomorrow. Saving it for Friday.
Save it for Friday.
A Missouri Six Flags is the one I used to go to as a kid. Is looking for contestants who will participate in a coffin challenge, which entails them to stay in a closed coffin for 30 hours.
Ooh.
Ringing in 30 years of the park's Fright Fest Halloween celebration, six participants will be closed in coffins from 1 p.m. on October 14th to 7 p.m. on October 15th.
Do they get bathroom breaks or do they have to put pee in there
as well?
They
get an hourly six-minute bathroom break. They'll be allowed to bring a pillow and a blanket. Their cell phone, convenient charging stations will be provided inside the coffins. And they will be able to have a friend stay near the coffin with them for some of the time.
That's not so bad.
Whoever makes it the full 30 hours will get a 2019 Golden Season Pass and Fright Fest prize package.
Do they get to eat?
Well, I would hope they get to eat. So, you know what? I might do something like that. You get a free season pass for that? If I was younger, I'd probably go for that.
Sure.
Would you do it, Case?
Well, I'm just trying to think, can we do something like that in here?
Let's do some, but let's do 30 hours buried.
Okay,
alive. Buried alive.
Okay.
Under debris.
A caterer saved the day after the officiant at a wedding broke her ankle after a fall the night before the ceremony at a rehearsal dinner. The bride and groom were panicked, but things settled once the catering crew from the city barbecue arrived. The bride had asked the truck driver to wait in case the officiant needed to go to the hospital, and the conversation was overheard by the catering manager, a guy named Manny Morales. Morales said that I could see that she was really upset when they were talking, and I was thinking in the back of my head, I can do this. I'm an officiant. So the bride admitted I thought he was kidding, but Morales showed up the next day at 4 o'clock, and he married Kelsey to her fiancé, Andy Schneck.
You're on, kid. Do it.
Kelsey said, I mean, he saved our big day. And I would describe him as almost the hero of our wedding because without him, I don't know what the outcome would have been. He saved the day.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mr. and Mrs. Schneck.
In every way possible. Wasn't that nice? The Schnecks.
Schnecks.
We're going to the Schneck wedding.
Even God was trying to stop that marriage.
Let's see. A tattoo artist got a surprise when one of his clients sent him an X-rated Facebook message explaining why he wouldn't be making his appointment. Now, tattooist Joshua Hancock explained, I've been tattooing for 10 years, and I've had some excuses in my time, people not showing up or last-minute cancellations. But when I first saw this, I was lying in bed half asleep. I looked at my phone. I fell back asleep. And then I woke back up again, and I'm like, wait, have I really read this properly? The note from the client reportedly said, all right, geez, really sorry. I can't do it today. I've got three prostitutes at mine for the day, and I've just had half an ounce of gear dropped off. I'll pay for the day to get yourself around mine and get effed up.
Wow.
That's why
I got... That's very candid.
Why I couldn't make it.
Three prostitutes.
Three prostitutes. Speaking of prostitutes, in Houston, Texas, a brothel filled with sex robots will reportedly be opening its doors very soon. We've seen this in Italy, or was it Spain? But now here.
There they are.
The sex robot brothel will be open in business in Houston within the next 10 days, says the business partner for Canadian sex doll rental company, Kinky S Dolls. That's right, sex doll rental company.
Ah, man, again, there's no amount of cleaning fluid in the world that could have, that I would use a pre-humped sex robot.
The company already operates a sex robot brothel in Toronto, where the dolls rent for about $120 an hour.
I heard they were having issues, though, because they, the as you would imagine, the most depraved people come in and use the sex robots.
Mm-hmm. The website,
just not your normal depraved people.
The website states, our love doll's goal is to provide intense pleasure. We provide deep and satisfying experience both in the way we feel and move.
Yeah.
We will allow you to fulfill your fantasies without any limitations. We feel just like the real thing. Oh, this is a doll speaking.
Oh, the doll is talking?
We're always fresh for you. We get sanitized with antibacterial products for after every session.
We get washed after every session.
Yeah, so
my name is Debbie.
There are some opponents to this, as you might imagine.
Really?
But they're having a hard time because, you know, there's nothing illegal about it.
No, apparently. you're basically banging a lounge chair.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll just wrap it up right there. And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning, my friends. Let's take another break, Case. I got a couple of these left. Yeah, I'll save a handful for tomorrow.
Okay.
Or unless you want me to give them all away.
I just think it's up to you.
Okay. Let's give away four of these, and I'll hang on to three of them for tomorrow. Okay. Dorney Park, Cream of the Scream, Friday, tomorrow.
Yeah.
6 to 8 p.m., and this is our first stop. Let's take four callers, 215-263-WMMR. You're going to love this, man. They transform into the Halloween haunt featuring haunted mazes, scare zones, rides, and monsters prowling the park. Fear is waiting for you at Dorney Park. Go to dorneypark.com/haunt for discount tickets.
It's great.
215-263-WMMR. We will take your call now. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Stone Temple Pilots. The Record Company. I've got this left to fix, threw it all out in. Shinedown. 'Cause it's about to get
heavy. New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Let me see here. Going to do the lesson question for today. And this morning we're going to give away a pair of tickets in a suite and a parking pass to join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McWayne. They'll be at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race at Dover International Speedway on October 7th. And I'll add a little bit to this question, Nick.
All right.
Because of her coffee addiction, who do Giselle's therapist want her to talk to?
Okay.
215-263-WMMR. Because of her coffee addiction, who do Giselle's therapists want her to talk to? 215-263-WMMR. While you are pondering that and calling in, we will do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you this morning by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Nicki Minaj has paid the $25,000 she promised former Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens after he was seen working a part-time job packing groceries. Owens, who has landed a TV job, says he plans on offering the money back to Minaj for a, quote, chance to wax dad ass.
Oh, my God.
Bill Cosby reportedly receiving a bit of star treatment upon entering prison, with some guards and cons admitting to being a bit starstruck. In fact, Cosby's body cavity check was supposedly administered with a sandalwood-scented Swifter.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
And continuing on the subject of Cosby, O.J. Simpson has chimed in saying he's concerned that Cosby will end up the victim of a, quote, nut behind bars. Simpson says he himself was forced to share a cell with a double murderer while in solitary confinement. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All righty, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Who do Giselle's therapist want her to talk to because of her coffee addiction? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Tom for the answer. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, Tom. So who did Giselle's therapist want her to talk to?
A Starbucks barista.
A barista, yes. Hang on a moment, Tom. Since you got it right, we are going to give you a pair of sweet tickets and a parking pass to join Jackie Bam Bam, Nick McWayne, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race at Dover International Speedway on October 7th. NASCAR returns to Dover October 5th through the 7th, and tickets start at $50. Kids tickets are just $10. You can get yours at doverspeedway.com. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
yeah.
And this morning it's brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. And for information, you can go to salusuhealth.com/PEI. Dave Grohl served as a cook this past weekend at the Beached Pig, a barbecue joint in the Studio City area of Los Angeles. A newly opened eatery is part of the Valley Urban Market, an outdoor food court.
I'm going to eat, goddamn it.
Co-founded by Grohl's wife, Jordan. Dave was stationed at the smoker all day, running meat to and from the food truck that was doing doling out pulled pork sandwiches and tacos, and even making a run to the supermarket down the street to pick up tortillas in the early afternoon. Dave revealed that he has been obsessed with cooking barbecue style ever since he's been in Nirvana. He said when Nirvana became popular, the first thing I did was I bought a beach house in North Carolina and spent years up there, and I just ate pulled pork like effing crazy.
Wow.
From the time I was 22 to about 25 years old. When asked the secret to great barbecue, Dave said, I'm not going to tell you that, before admitting, I think one mistake a lot of people make is that they just over-season their stuff. Pork loves salt. Salt loves pork. You get nice salt on a good piece of pork, and you let the smoke hit it right, and then it's effing delicious.
A smoker like that, when it's running and the smell coming out of it is so awesome.
It's heavenly. Dave's going to be on smoker duty again this Saturday before heading back out on tour with the Foo Fighters. Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett has told Metal Hammer magazine that he's actually open to the idea of eventually releasing a solo album. Hammett explained, I have so much material sitting around that's obviously not Metallica stuff, and that pile gets bigger and bigger. He said, I still feel that I have so much to give Metallica. When that feels more complete, maybe I'll think about doing that other stuff.
It's a different sound that he has. Well, solo.
He said it wouldn't look like a metal album at all. He said it'll be something so weird and far-ranging in styles, but cohesive at the same time. I wouldn't be surprised if all of us did some solo, independent, autonomous sort of thing. I think it's healthy, and if anything, when you come back to the band, you'd come back with more enthusiasm, he says.
This is not Metallica at all, man.
Hammett told Rolling Stone that he last contemplated doing a solo album after the band suspended work in 2001 on what became the Saint Anger album, when James Hetfield took nearly a year off to get sober and reconcile with his family.
I want to love you, PYT for the young thing.
Yeah! He said, I had a bunch of music I was sitting on. I was going to ask Lars to play drums on it. So, you never know, that might come to pass one day. Slipknot has put out a casting call for a new music video inviting fans to shoot in Los Angeles on Friday, October 5th. So, if you can get out there between now and then, maybe you'll be in it. The message did not provide any more details about the clip, but was captioned Slipknot 20th Anniversary. Presumably referring to the 20th anniversary of the release of the band's self-titled 1999 major label debut album. Fans wanting to participate in the music video shoot are being asked to email their name and age to slipknot20th@gmail.com. Those who are under the age of 18 have to provide a copy of their parent or guardian's photo identification and release a form signed by them. And then one last thing. He just came through with his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, but Elton John has just tagged 25 new dates onto his three-year farewell Yellow Brick Road, and he'll be coming back to Philadelphia. So for those of you who thought you saw him here for the last time,
you're wrong.
You are incorrect. So he will be at the Wells Fargo Center on November 8th and 9th.
Of next year, Preston.
Of next year. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. 2019. You're right. So it's not even going to be this November. So you got a little ways
to go. That's cool, though. Yeah. Let it breathe a little bit.
So he's going to hit Vegas, Tacoma, Indianapolis, Nashville, Memphis, Charlotte, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Boston, Uniondale, New York, and Philadelphia. And he's going to do 10 shows in Canada as well.
I've seen him a couple times. And he's great. The best time was when he was stripped down to just a Steinway piano and a Yamaha piano. And then a great Cooper, I guess was his name, the acoustic, the drummer.
Yep.
And percussionist. It was very cool.
I think we had somebody on the Love You Hate You line. I think that must have been what they were referring to. They're like, you want us to buy tickets now when you might not even be alive?
Oh. Yeah.
Valid concern.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have. And music news for you. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back in a second, get ready to wrap this whole thing up in a nice bow for you as we will get our letter of the day, word of the week from our friend Pierre Robert and see what he's got coming up in a moment. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So weekend plans. You guys do anything outside this weekend or?
Yeah, just getting out and taking advantage. I mean, I love the autumn feel. I'm going to be finalizing my Halloween decorations.
I'm finalizing, too.
Yes. And so I'm like 80% there. Now it's just the tweaking and accentuating and accent lighting. I'm sure you know the process.
Yes, of course I know the process. I've been doing a lot of shopping. So now we're going to put everything together.
All right.
And create the scene.
Yes,
is that
absolutely
exciting for you, Kath? Because to me, it just sounds like a total
so
chore.
So exciting.
It is fun. Like, it's totally fun.
I can't wait. It's been sitting because I'm changing the whole theme this year because
are
Jace
you?
Is into... skeletons,
yes,
horror and skeletons.
Nice.
So I've decided to pack away the nice, pretty fall decorations, and we're going black and white and skeletons.
Hey, do you go to Home Goods at all for any of that stuff? All right, I'm just because we've gotten
is that a real question.
We've gotten some really, really great things. We have this
awesome
Grim Reaper
stuff.
And. The Grim Reaper actually comes out at Halloween and usually goes back after Christmas because we'll put a Santa Claus hat on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of funny.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes, Casey, I got the majority of our skeleton decorations from Home Goods.
Okay. I will be out. You know, my kids play soccer and all that stuff, so I'll be out on the soccer field on Saturday and Sunday. But I wanted to mention this because Stingers. I'll be at Stingers tonight.
Yes, that's right.
Between 7 and 9. It's in Ridley Park, Swarthmore Avenue. It's right on the water in Ridley Park, and it's the Bud Light Philly tour, so I'll be there giving away tickets. I believe it's tickets for the Eagles Panthers game, so we'll give those away before I leave there at 9 o'clock. Also, we have autographed Eagles merch. I think it's in a Nelson Aguilar helmet. But I'm also going to be back at Stingers on Saturday because Cardinal Harris having an all-class reunion at Stingers on Saturday, so I will be there. And then my grade school, OLPH, is having an all-class reunion on Sunday. So I'm doing all that. I'm
look
just
at that. You have a busy weekend, Preston.
Super reunion.
Actually, I think it's a little lighter weekend this weekend.
There you go.
I will try to play some golf if I can, if the weather's going to be decent.
Every year this time of year is when we usually do the Dorney trip for the Cream of the Scream, and this is almost always the weekend where, like, you bust out the hoodies a little bit. You know, you put the jeans on.
Yep.
And we've done Dorney. And you're like, oh, all right, there's a little bit of a chill in the air. And I love doing that. So I'm psyched for that. I think this is my favorite one just because I love how accessible the park is and just doing all the rides.
Honestly,
it's a blast.
And by the way, to that point, Nick, if you don't win to come with us, the park is still open.
Exactly.
We'll have our last few passes to give away tomorrow because that is tomorrow night. So it should be good. He just came in from outdoors. Pierre is here. Hey, man.
It is hoodie weather, actually.
Is it feeling a little cool?
That's cool. Just a touch.
That's a little, it's crisp. Yes. I like crisp air.
I like crisp.
Yes.
Excellent. Shall we start off with our letter, sir?
Yes.
All right, let's do that.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
S is in sports up.
All right. we have $500 to give away from Sergeant Scrap, the Delaware Valley's original mobile service scrap company. Don't take crap for your scrap. You want to get Sergeant Scrap, go to sergeantscrap.com for all the information. I forgot to do thank yous. Thank you to Grant Shawd, who is on the show this morning. Grant plays Miles on Murphy Brown. He's from Wayne, PA, lives here, and is a super nice guy. And it's on tonight at 9:30 on CBS, and I hope the show does well. It was really nice talking to him. Also, thank you to Richard Curtis.
Yes.
He's a teacher at Souderton Area High School. And he is the host of The Clash Room, which is a game show on Fox featuring students and teachers.
I love this stuff.
I love
that it's local. It's going to be local kids. It's going to be local teachers.
Yep.
And so it's going to be, it's on at noon, right? Monday through Friday.
Yeah, Monday at noon. I'll try to give you a reminder on Monday. But it was cool to have Richard come by this morning.
But doesn't he have to teach?
He did. Yes. He had to take like a half day today to come in to promote it. And the administrators were cool with that. So somebody covered for him.
But I mean, if it's on at noon every day.
They recorded on Saturday.
Saturday. They do the week's episodes on Saturday, and then they parse them out throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is cool. What's on your program?
Well, thank you for asking, Preston. Mm-hmm. I will have birthday bucks at 11 a.m. and again at 1 p.m. I will have another pair of tickets for Dave Matthews Band to give away, and I've got some fun workforce blocks. Offspring will be one of them. Metallica will be another, and the great Robert Palmer.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Wow.
You going to play Sneakin' Sally?
I'm going to play Sneakin' Sally and Addicted to Love and Doctor, I Got a Bad Case of Loving You, that kind of thing.
He died too young. How old was he?
He was 40-something.
That's ridiculous.
One of those freakish things, kind of like Joe Strummer.
And people didn't realize just how talented he was, right. You know? You just thought of him as
Oh, my God. He was a soul singer.
Yeah, he really was a soul singer.
If you hear Sneakin' Sally into Sailin' Shoes, which is the next song goes into, he does some dynamic singing on there that's phenomenal. And you know what I hate about that is because I have it on my digital player, I have it on my phone, and the two songs
should be joined together.
They don't join together.
You should be able to do that, right?
Like you can. You could edit them together and put them back into the, seamlessly. So, for example, there's a great Joe Jackson album called Blaze of Glory. And the songs are supposed to go one right into another. When you listen to them on, when you buy the album on iTunes or whatever, they stop.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off.
By Journey, Feeling That Way into City of the Angels.
Into Anytime.
Anytime. And those are supposed to go boom, boom,
exactly.
Boom.
Exactly.
Like, right,
it's,
like
it's the same song.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Right. It has become that.
No, but Apple should, they keep doing all these updates. They should allow you to do that, just an option. Always play this into this.
My car came with one of those systems, and I truly almost always listen to the radio. But every so often, I'll get a hankering for a song, and I can put it in, and Jackson Brown will come up, and it will play The Loadout, which goes into Stay.
Right, straight through.
It's this brilliant combination.
Yeah.
Stay was an old song by
Maurice and the Zodiac.
And you hear the whole Loadout, the frosting on the cake is Stay.
Yeah.
And it cuts it off.
Those aren't two songs. That's one song.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
I'll kill anyone who argues. No, it's
so
the truth.
These are our collective pet peeves of the morning.
You could do a workforce block of that someday. The songs that flow one into the other.
Or I could just
a theme.
Play them and cut them off.
Or that.
Drive people crazy. In fact, take songs that have no cut in them and do them in two separate halves.
Like Moving in Stereo. You actually could play that as one song, but it sounds so much better when you let it track as it does on the album right into All Mixed Up.
And Zeppelin's got songs
that
too.
Yeah, of course.
That was I Want to Hold Your, and now we're going to play Hands.
All of that and more coming your way on my program today.
It's going to be a great day to hang with Pierre. What am I doing?
You know what? I just got an email saying, hey, can we hit this? Because we actually need some entries for this contest.
Okay, MMR's 15 Seconds of Fozzy, your shot to be their roadie for a day. Post a 15-second video of you explaining what would make you a good roadie for Fozzy. You post that to Twitter or Instagram with two hashtags. That's hashtag WMMR Fozzy Contest and hashtag Rock Allegiance. The entry deadline is Sunday, 9/30/18. Click contest at WMMR.com for details.
Now, I just, we did a similar contest at Y100. We gave away an opportunity to be a roadie for the Warped Tour for a day. That guy ended up getting hired for the whole tour.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have a feeling that the Fozzy boys would be really cool if you were to roadie for them. Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but it has happened.
You never know, though. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine was a baker and worked all night long every night as a baker, John Langenstein, and he would occasionally get in the summertime, he'd work outdoors at the Mann Music Center doing security, and he kept moving up through the ranks in the summertime only. And Jackson Brown came through one time, and he was dealing with him backstage, and he goes, I want you to leave this right now and come out with me.
Wow.
And then he went out to become a road manager with Jackson Brown and
Fish.
Wow. And a whole number of other bands. And
got a whole nother career out of
it. Yeah, amazing. So you never know.
Yeah. Happenstance. It's cool.
Details at WMMR.com. I'm going to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston. Preston and Steve Show, and by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. Quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Tomorrow on a program, wrap up the fine week with our Word of the Week prize. Give that away. More of the birthday bucks, of course. And in studio, it's always a treat, our good friend Adam Ferrara.
Yes.
Stopping by, so I love it when he comes here. That's it. We're done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Privilege. Not everyone can afford a cute stepladder.
Next message.
Yeah, brand new WMMR app driving across the Great Basin on the loneliest highway in America, US 50, doing 90 miles an hour. Thank God I can listen to our podcast all the way to California. Have fun.
Next message.
Let me get this right. You want the money for the concert tickets next November and the student might not even actually be alive then? Get the f*** out.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.